B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, welcome into Wednesday's edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Our 6 a.m. hour is brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. And when that water hit this morning, Bob, it was a pleasure. Because it, are you getting like a buzz in your ear?
Yeah, I am. Oh, there it goes.
There it goes. It went away. Whatever that was.
See, Pat Egan, something wrong. Boom. Corrected.
We're both getting that, though.
Yeah.
This is where it's almost like a ghost in the machine.
Yeah. I think the police. Somebody must have been manhandling
it. It's a good thing it was fixed, because if we didn't fix it, it wouldn't have been fixed.
Till like
9:30?
9:59, you're
Pat,
saying?
Pat, somebody must have been manhandling my mic again.
Come on, Bobby.
I don't know what it was.
Bobby, be gentle.
So Coach asks to start the show, which one of us would win red light, green light? And I think Pat suggested I would. And I'm like, no, I think the person with the best reflexes wins red light, green light, right? I know that our own Tyrone Johnson says he could win an Olympic gold medal in red light, green light. I heard him say that one Saturday on the show. He was trying to figure out during the Olympics, what could he win a gold medal in? And he said red light, green light. He could be a gold medalist in that.
We didn't play that much.
We didn't either.
What was the end result of it? Did you have to get to a spot?
It was whoever lasted the longest.
No, it was...
So they were eliminated, right?
You had to get to a person. Whoever was the first one to get to a person.
Oh, okay.
It was the person saying red light, green light.
Well, Tyrone says he could win a gold medal in that. In red light, green light. So that's where Coach derailed us to start the show today, which is good, though, because there's always crazy questions and stuff. And by the way, Bob, it was feeling totally fine today. And yesterday I felt like crap. Yesterday morning I felt
you were
good
run
today.
Down. Bartending,
I think it was just run down.
Golfing, you know,
good.
All those hard labor things got to you.
Really hard labor. I'm going to ask you: is the Jalen Hurts roller coaster ride going to be able to have a huge uptick against the Buccaneers? How bad is this? They allow 314 yards per game through the air, which, by the way, through 5 weeks of an NFL season. Is top 10 bad in the history of the game. And a whopping 73% completion percentage. Quarterbacks complete 73% of their passes against the Bucs, which is also top 10 bad through five games of a schedule. These are the Super Bowl champions. So this is a wide open opportunity for Jalen Hurts. If he can't throw on this team, if they can't find a way to put up a huge game through the air, things are going to look a lot bleaker on his resume. I know my meter will move distinctly. There should be tons of plays to be made against Tampa's secondary and linebackers. I can't believe I'm going to say this. But Coach Sirianni, throw the ball tomorrow night. Throw the ball. I know I don't need to say that to you because you always throw it. In fact, in previous weeks, when the opposition had shown you the week before that they were really bad against the run, you decided the best way to attack them was to throw it. So I feel like I have to tell this to you. The Buccaneers have a weak pass defense. Horrid. Terrible. And I'm wondering if this is the week you're going to come out and go, I'm going to outsmart them. I'm going to run the ball. Now we're going to run the ball because everyone's telling me to run it. I have to ask because when you saw the Chiefs and you saw the Cowboys, and you saw the Panthers 3 weeks in a row. You saw teams get gashed with the run. You decided that passing the football was the absolute optimal option. This is a week that Jalen Hurts must not be mediocre. You can't have a mediocre week. He can't have an up and down week. This is a week where it's a gimme. Everybody else is tearing up this secondary. No excuses. Jalen Hurts has got to be able to pass the ball this week from the pocket, on a rollout, or otherwise. If not, the meter's going to move in the wrong direction, at least for me. That's where we begin with Bob Cooney, the vacationing Jamie Lynch taking care of baby Paige. We'll check in with Jamie a little bit later on today. Pat Egan, Mike's directing on YouTube and Twitch, and we thank you for watching on there. We've got Connor answering your phone calls at 610-632-0975, and the coach, Eric Camille. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. This is a week I want no excuses. Friday morning, center ice. Down at the Wells Fargo Center, I want no excuses. Jalen Hurts cannot have a mediocre game throwing the football against this team. Top 10 bad in yards given up and completion percentage over five games in NFL history.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I have overflowing confidence in Jalen Hurts at all after, you know, the games that he's played this year. But I will say this. Everything that you said, I agree with, and I have some more stuff coming up later about this Tampa secondary. I am more concerned with the type of plays Nick Sirianni calls against this Tampa defense.
What do you mean?
Than what kind of passing percentage Jalen Hurts will have. I'm wondering, okay, we're going to see the same thing. Is it going to be, all right, they have a bad secondary, so we're just going to throw 45 times like we did before, but it's going to be the same thing. Dinks and dunks and screens and you know, wide receiver bubble screens and all of that, swing passes and sit downs at 5 yards. Are we going to see that again? Because if that's the case, Jalen Hurts can go 49 for 50, and I'll be pissed off that Nick Sirianni didn't design good plays.
But would you not know if you see him execute the game plan, though, that he is able to, that he will have shown you the best, look, I can execute what the coach asked me to do. I can make all the throws. Because he has not shown us yet that he can make all the throws.
No, he hasn't, but
his intermediate
exactly
throws, by
point.
The way, have not been good.
Yeah, but I still have more confidence in him hitting a throw that's designed to go somewhere than I do Nick Sirianni designing a good play. Or a good game plan, I should say. Look, you have to take advantage of the secondary. You have to take advantage of what their weakness is. And it's not a simple, all right, look, we know how to run these bubble screens and all that stuff, so we'll go with that because their secondary stinks. No, you have to open this up. The way you make a bad secondary good is by allowing them to know what you're doing. They can't know what you're doing. You can say you're passing the ball, but they don't know where the passes are coming from. We need to see tight ends going down the middle. We need to see wide receiver slants. We need to see some deep balls, maybe even early, to Quez Watkins and the like. You need, like you said, John, rollouts, whatever, maybe just pocket passing. But you need to see difference in throws, not just the same old throws that we've seen game after game after game so far with Nick Sirianni.
So you and I are in the same place. Our doubt meter is lower for Nick Sirianni than it is for Jalen Hurts.
And that's came not to good. That realization.
And that's not good.
Yeah.
Pat, is that a trifecta? Do you have more confidence? Could you possibly have more confidence in Jalen Hurts than you do Nick Sirianni?
I don't have a lot of confidence in either. But if I had to, you know, if I had to pick, yeah, I'd have more confidence in Jalen Hurts than Sirianni right now, because Sirianni makes his life more difficult by not doing the simplest thing. You saying that this is the most obvious path to victory?
It's sarcastic. And I was trying to be sarcastic.
And I'm worried, though, that they're not going to do it. They're outsmart. Yeah, that's a real fear.
You do have that fear.
I've seen it. Like, I saw Andy Reid do this exact thing. I forget who they were playing, but they were playing a team with the worst run defense in football. And he threw the ball like 45 times in that game. And they lost. So I've seen this happen before where coaches try to outthink and outsmart and, you know, be the smartest guy in the room. And so far, it looks like either Sirianni is letting the game plan get away from him or he's trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
That's the scariest part. That is scary. Look, and I was being sarcastic, being a bit of a smartass. But he can't look at Tampa Bay and say, well, now's the week I'm going to break out the run. And I get what people are going to say. You've been begging him to run the football. You're taunting him about not running the football, and now you're going to get on him if he does? Yeah, I am. Because this is the obvious, this is the 3-foot putt that he has ignored the last 3 weeks. He's ignored it. The obvious game plan, he said, no, I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm going to go differently. And it hasn't, to me, it hasn't worked out successfully enough. Last Sunday doesn't spin it for me.
No.
The fact that they won a game still doesn't spin it for me that was a good plan. In fact, I thought it was a lousy plan.
Yeah, it's an interesting week because of everything we've laid out about Tampa Bay's defense and specifically their secondary. So it's an interesting week in that aspect. But also in this one, you need to keep Tom Brady off the field. I mean, you have to keep him off the field, right? So do that, are you going bing, 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 bing with the chance of, three and out and a minute and a half and they get the ball back? Which we've seen a lot with this pass, pass, pass offense. I mean, I went over it yesterday, Monday on the Eagles Sunday game. They went three passes, three and out. They like their first 15 plays, I think 14 were passes.
It's
and
terrible.
A lot of it was three and out, and you hold the ball for a minute and a half, and you allow the other team to get 15 possessions on Sunday. You can't do that with Tom Brady. He'll score 100 on you.
You let the Chiefs get 7 possessions.
Yeah.
You let the Carolina Panthers get 15.
Yeah.
That's abysmal. That's abysmal coaching. And again, he's five games in.
Yeah.
So it's not like I believe he can't get better, because I do believe he'll get better. I believe the next five games of Nick Sirianni will be better than the first five.
It better.
I don't think he's a dope. I don't think the man's a dope. I think he actually thinks he's smarter than he is, though.
It reeks to me, looking at the numbers and the unbalanced way that they are, it reeks to me of a rookie coach that doesn't know, A, himself as a coach, which is understandable to
me.
And B, doesn't know his team yet. And that's understandable to me, too. I mean, you can talk the talk and say, you know, we're looking to do this, and Jalen has that, and our receivers, and this and that. But you really don't know your personnel. I mean, you know. First time you get behind a bench or whatever, and you put your group out there that you've practiced with, you see how they react in games. It could be vastly different than what it's like in practice. So you have to read upon that of what you have and how guys react in games. And he's still getting used to that. And getting used to himself as a coach. So, yeah, I mean, these are probably things we should have expected. Did we want better? Probably, yeah. But the ups and downs, because of the lack of talent, because of all the things I mentioned previously, it's kind of right there almost.
I had two guys ask me out at the golf tournament the other day, say, are you out on Sirianni or something along those lines? I'm like, absolutely not. So I want to make sure that it's not like I'm out on the guy. But I'm incredibly frustrated that I don't know more of his identity.
That's
what I find frustrating, is I would think you'd come in and you'd say, okay, here's my signature. Here's what I'm trying to do. And we'd know that by now. I have no idea who the guy is.
I think I would cast it as, well, I've seen more negative than positive so far.
Amen.
And that's exactly how I would label Nick Sirianni. I thought he did a good job of... I was thoroughly impressed against Atlanta where, oh, that's open. I'm going to take it.
Yes.
You know, and since then, it's been a little shaky. Now, the speed of the game, Dallas, you know, when you go against San Francisco, you go against better teams, things spin out of control a little bit. Well, that's where he has to learn to slow the game down and do the things that he needs to do.
Something about him, though, to me, I do still find likable.
Dog mentality.
There's something likable. No, it's not
dog mentality.
But Pat, there's something about him where a lot of times, if I'll get frustrated, no, it's not. If I'll get frustrated or angry or like with how my team's playing, the coach's face will start to bother me. Not him. Like he does. Like something about him.
What do you mean?
I'm not buying into him yet, but I'm actually, I'm willing to give him time.
You have to. I mean, we're only
correct.
We're only a couple games into the Sirianni tenure here, so you have to give him some more time. I mean, football isn't exactly a microwave.
If I say it by Thanksgiving, though, if Thanksgiving week I'm saying the same things about him, I will be pissed. I will be at that point.
And there's a chance you're probably going to be saying the same things about him.
No. Hey, if you're ready to transfer, the Boston Architectural College offers excellence in design education. Attend ABAC Virtual Open House October the 20th. Visit the -bac.edu. Architect, Pat, did you ever think you were going to be an architect?
Absolutely not.
My mom,
not smart enough.
My mom and dad thought I was going to be an architect.
Really?
When I was a little kid, because
why?
I loved
Legos?
Loved Legos and loved the Erector set. Building stuff?
Yeah.
And now, look at me. I barely can manage a toolkit. I used to play with the Erector set and try to build high rises. I used to use the loved Legos.
I got to tell you, I hated that stuff.
You hated all that kind of stuff?
I had no time. What were the things?
Lincoln Logs?
Lincoln Logs.
Yes.
Those things.
You didn't like that
either? Legos, Erector sets. I didn't have the patience.
What was your favorite toy? Mine was little cars.
I didn't have any toys really. My parents, like I said, I was.
You had ball.
Yeah, my favorite thing that I ever
did. You have the
got.
Wheel with the stick? You know, the wooden wheel. And you would take the stick and you would run down the street and you would bat the wooden wheel.
Favorite thing ever was the pitchback thing.
Oh, Johnny Bench pitchback.
God. It had the little square in the middle and you could tilt it if you wanted pop-ups. Man, I must have spent, I mean, years
Pat
on that
Pat doesn't know
machine.
What a Johnny Bench pitchback
is. What a Johnny Bench, yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it.
Oh, okay, you've seen pictures.
But no,
they,
I didn't
like,
have
they didn't have one. Is there a modern version of it?
No, it was called the Mickey Morandini pitchback when I was a kid.
I didn't realize that. We saw Mick the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey doing a great job.
Didn't sell as well.
Daryl Morey is reportedly lurking for James Harden, if you believe Brick from General Hospital, also known as Stephen A. Smith, lurking for James Harden. I don't see the sense in it from the Nets standpoint. But I was dreaming last night a little bit, watching some hockey and saying to myself, boy, watching Embiid play with Harden would be an amazing thing. Bob, you know the NBA, you know it ins and outs. What could possibly, like what, Stephen A., I guarantee you this, I know him to be, whatever anybody wants to say about him, I know him to be a guy of integrity. Somebody told him that.
Sure.
I just don't know if it's somebody that's worth listening to. James Harden, why would the Nets be looking to get rid of James Harden? He did decline to sign an extension.
Yes.
Could that be the reason? And why would you do that? You're trying to win a championship this year.
Yeah, I mean, that means if you do something like that, it means that you're negating something that you haven't even seen yet. You've barely seen Harden, Durant, and Irving all together on the same floor. I think it's under 20 times that they've been together. Due to injuries and different things like that. So if Kyrie were with the Nets and you had the three of them.
Now, what if you had Simmons, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant?
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic.
I think it's a really good dynamic for them. And yeah. Harden to the Sixers with Joel Embiid. That would be must-see. Not that the Sixers have sort of been must-see TV for a little while.
Yeah.
But that would be must-see TV.
Yeah, the reason this doesn't make sense right now is because of the Kyrie situation. I mean, why would they trade for Ben Simmons and give up James Harden when, now I understand, he didn't sign the extension. If he waits until after this year, it could be worth over $100 million to him. So he's making the right smart move. And Brooklyn could be able to do that and keep him there if they so choose and he so chooses. If he's made it clear to them, maybe, I'll play this year, but I'm going to explore my options after this. Well, then there could be a tinge of them shopping him around, behind the scenes.
And then knowing you have Simmons for another three seasons after this one.
Yeah.
So you'd be trading for 4 years of Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Instead of 1 year of James Harden. Because it does seem like he's going to shop free agency.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the message.
Kyrie and Simmons.
Does that work?
I've said it all along. Just give me talent and I'll make it work.
That's too much crazy in one room, though.
That is a lot of crazy. but sometimes crazy does win out. But I didn't take much stock. When I saw it, I said, oh, cool. And yes, somebody with absolute credibility gave that to Stephen A., or he wouldn't have run with it.
Where do you think it comes from, Pat? Do you think it comes from James Harden's camp? Get me the hell away from Kyrie Irving because this guy's a
ding,
mess.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm guessing.
I think that's part of it, but I also think this is kind of like common sense. When I saw this report, I wasn't surprised that Daryl Morey wants to get his hands on the guy that really catapulted him into the elite, GMs in basketball. Like that move, that masterstroke, that's his crowning achievement. Yeah, of course he'd want to team up with James Harden. That's like saying every guy, I'm trying to date Margot Robbie. Really? No way. It's a no-brainer move. It's the fact is, though, it doesn't really make sense for the Nets to move him.
No.
Would everybody on the show, Pat, Bob, the three of us, because Jamie cannot participate in this one. Coach, this would involve you too. This would involve Connor, and this would involve Mike, Heavy Chevy too. Would everyone on the show agree that if James Harden came, we would agree to grow beards for 3 weeks?
3 weeks? That's it?
Yes, because I want to see what kind of a beard.
I think I'm at 3 weeks now.
No, I want to see what kind of a beard we could all grow in 3 weeks.
I'll go for the rest of the season.
Can you grow a beard, seriously?
Bob?
What do you mean by that?
Like,
it doesn't look
some
like
guys can't grow beards. Some guys don't really.
I think mine would be. I think mine would be real spotty.
During the pandemic, I think I went like 3 weeks during the pandemic. I think I have a picture.
Because you have very rosy cheek skin, Bob. Like you don't have that rough.
Irish,
that's
us,
it,
Irish
very,
people.
But you have very healthy, very rosy skin. You don't have a lot of that rugged beard. Bob doesn't have that rugged beard look. Will Coach enter into the equation? We will find out from Connor and Mike.
I don't think I've ever seen a hair on Coach's face.
Nah,
Coach,
I'm out.
Yeah, he's out.
But like a nice clean shave.
Coach, even for the good of the show,
way
you
to
won't
be a
do
team
this.
Player.
I'm talking about 3 weeks.
For the good of the show, I'll do the run sheet. I'll show up every day. I'll buy you guys some Wawa or something.
No, you won't.
No, it's beard incredible. For me. No beard for me.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
Dude. I wonder if heavy Chevy probably couldn't grow a beard too well.
What's this guy's deal?
Chevy looks like he's around 17. He walks into the...
Chevy's the man.
He walks into a liquor store. He's not getting... I mean, Chevy is going to get carded so much in Vegas.
Chevy gets carded at PG-13 movies.
He's going to get carded in Vegas.
He's a guy that I wonder if he can grow facial hair.
I wonder if that could be the case.
One of my best friends can't grow a beard.
Yeah. Can at all?
Jamie can't, but
you shouldn't bring that up.
If he'll sit there for... No, I wasn't talking about Jamie, but if
you said
he
one of your best friends.
For,
I thought Jamie.
Jamie's a coworker. He's not a friend. But if he doesn't shave for a month, he's got four hairs.
Wow.
Yeah. The Crossy Bears, John. We all have it.
Yeah, see, I went like a few weeks with that.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks without shaving.
The thing is, with you look like yours sort of looks like pirate. Like a pirate.
A pirate.
You look like a scruffy
sexy pirate.
Like put a black
pirate.
Put a black sexy eye pirate. Patch yeah. on.
Okay.
Bob would be like, "Aye."
Mm.
With a parrot on his
little
shoulder.
Peg leg.
As he walks into the bar.
I got a peg leg.
It's a peg leg.
I had to watch a lady on television last night. I didn't have to, but I stuck on the channel for a second as she was lecturing some news person saying she didn't like the Bond movie because every single Bond villain has some sort of a physical defect. And she was saying it's why people should not go see the Bond movies.
That's the
I never even thought of
that's
that.
That's what she said. She said
that. That was her takeaway.
That was her takeaway, and she was arguing that like people shouldn't go see the Bond movie because Rami Malek, I guess, has like a facial disformity because he was some nerve agent or something.
Yeah,
right. Amazing. By the way, Christina loved it as much as you did, Pat.
Yeah, I
loved it.
Go see the movie; it's very good.
She loved it.
Don't listen to that lady.
Hey, Temple University is conducting an inpatient MRI and investigational medication study. It's for adults 18 to 65 who use cocaine that are willing to quit and might consider a research study. Please take part in this, won't you? 215-707-7915. That's 215-707-7915. We hope that you will be a part of it. It is not a great week for this guy to show up on this list. We need him. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. When you're betting football, do what I do. Bet with the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. There is a great deal right now for new and existing customers. I already placed the bet to get in on a special for the Thursday night game, the Birds versus Tampa. A head start for you. You get the Philadelphia plus 50 points, 5-0. And you get odds of plus 120 against Tampa Bay. That is spectacular. That is absolutely great. You get 50 points before the game kicks off, plus 120 odds. $50 is going to win you 60. This offer appears in the special market section of the app, and max bet applies. On the Park Sportsbook, you're going to get the Birds plus 50 points at great odds before the game even starts. I'm an existing customer. I put my 50 down. What about you? Join now. A great offer. Download the app or go to pa.parkscasino.com. Park Sportsbook, you can bet with a home team. They're fantastic. And that's a deal you do not want to pass up. It's free money. You must be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Should you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. One of our fine listeners shares with me on social media, yes, he also saw last night, we can no longer say, I shouldn't even say it, because supposedly we know, you'd no longer say Indian summer. He heard the discussion yesterday, and he sent that along to me in DM. You no longer say that the hot weather in October is Indian summer.
Do you watch The Morning Show on Apple?
That is the Jen Aniston show.
Yeah.
I tried it. Didn't really dig it.
Did it hit you?
No.
So in the new season, the weatherman,
okay,
Gil Flores, says that Punxsutawney Phil is his spirit animal. And he gets a lot of blowback on social media because
Why?
He can't say spirit animal. And he has to go on the air and apologize.
And apologize for saying spirit animal. What would be the offense to spirit animal?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no clue.
There was unbelievable.
But in this day and age, you don't go on television and say that a groundhog who predicts the weather is your, quote, spirit animal. You don't do it.
I did see a piece pop up on social media about your kids watching the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let your kids watch the Flintstones.
Why?
Because
they're modern Stone Age family.
From the town of Bedrock.
Is it going to make your kids because think that you can actually pedal
Fred
a car?
That Fred is abusive to Wilma.
Okay.
And that Fred has a gambling problem.
Okay.
And that Fred, that the Flintstones exploit animals.
Sounds like you're setting your kid up for the real world.
There's like an elephant under the sink to be the hose to clean the dishes and things like that. And the animals always complain about being exploited. People have a lot of time.
Well,
the
animals are complaining about work.
People have a lot of time in their hands.
Well, I think everyone complains about work.
Is that show animated?
It is. Oh. I tell Olivia if she takes any of these classes with this crap in college,
I don't think any elephants were hurt during the making of the Flintstones.
In this day and age, people wake up and go,
What am I going to be offended about?
What can I get offended about?
The Flintstones, yes. Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. So if you're injured, you call Martin Law. They are the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. It is not a great week for Dallas Goedert to be showing up on the COVID list. I'm not blaming Dallas Goedert. Anybody can get it at any time. And Dallas Goedert could still potentially, there's an outside chance that he will be available for tomorrow's game. Hopefully we hear about a negative test today. And then hopefully we hear about a negative test tomorrow. And then he'll be able to play, it looks like. So three negative tests, which must mean that if I'm reading the protocols correctly, that means he's vaccinated.
Okay.
And he has to have three negative tests to show that he can play. So there's a chance he's playing, but he's not practicing.
Yeah, but
do you let him play? Do you let him play if he doesn't practice all week?
Sure, because it's a short week. How much practice are they actually getting in?
Correct.
I think it's just kind of walkthroughs. I don't think they're even. If they're doing anything more than shells, or even if they're doing shells, I'd be surprised. You know, because Monday is obviously a day of Tuesday, you come in for recovery, and then boom, it's Wednesday already.
By the way, Tampa practiced Monday.
Yeah, and they got on the field.
A little bit, you know, getting in there. Now, a lot of it is sort of a run-through-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know how you have a game plan. How do you have a game plan ready that quickly? Because usually game plan implementation is going on Wednesday. For an upcoming game on Sunday. The coaches have had 48 hours to really pour into it.
Yeah, you're hitting it on the plane ride home and getting ready for it that quickly, probably, you know, go out to dinner and then get back to the offices if you're Nick Sirianni and company and getting everything together. It's going to be interesting. That Goddard thing, man, if he's out and you got to go Zach Ertz totally, that's a good thing. Maybe, because we've heard it. We've heard that, I think we asked Zach Berman on Monday. I think I asked him something about the tight ends, and he said, well, I think it's a case where he's not a two tight end type of coach, but yet he's playing two tight ends because he wants them to get their hands on the ball. Maybe if one of them's out and it forces your hand to play with one tight end, maybe it's a breakthrough thing for Nick Sirianni and or Zach Ertz where you say, oh, I like running these things with one tight end better than I do with two tight ends.
Pat, I heard yesterday where Chinas was putting out into the universe saying, well, you know, if Zach Ertz has to be the focus as the one tight end, then maybe Zach Ertz goes for like six catches, 85 yards, and then you can pedal him off to somebody.
Yeah. That's not a bad thing.
I hate to think about that. We're putting Zach up on the trade block for somebody to grab him. But well, I'd like to see him.
It was sad to me when Jimmy Rollinson had finished his career with the Phillies or Chase Utley or some of the all-time greats in the sport. And it's so rare that happens where a guy plays his entire career with one team. And Zach Ertz is an all-time great with this franchise. But this franchise is in a rebuild mode. So, if this is going to, you know, maybe up his trade value, by all means, let's go. Because as Bob Cooney said many times, what are we playing for?
I hate thinking about that, though. There's something. I will be a little bummed, even though I'd be glad to get another draft pick for him. I'll be a little bummed the day that Zach Ertz is no longer an Eagle.
I don't like thinking about taxes, but, you know, it's a reality.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a buzzkill, but it's a reality.
You would love it if he gets that one shining moment in the sun before whatever happens.
Like a big game against the Bucks,
like an upset of the Super Bowl champions on a Thursday night, and Zach Ertz goes for 6 catches, 80 some yards, and a couple of touchdowns when Dallas Goedert is sidelined. I mean, that'd be awesome. That would almost be like, Zach, hand in your uniform now and just ride off into the sunset.
There's a lot of teams that are looking.
Yeah.
And his name's being kicked around with.
Yeah, I would hate to see him go also. But at the same time, I also hate to see a guy's career decline in a way. I think his capabilities have declined, but also his ability to be a big part of this offense has declined also.
I'm not guessing you're getting a second day draft pick. I think it would be a third. For Zach Ertz.
Ooh, Pat, that sounds high to me.
A third day draft pick. Fourth round to seventh round. So I'm thinking you'd get a fourth or a fifth rounder for Zach Ertz.
Yeah, that would make the most sense.
I'd be absolutely fine with a fourth rounder for him.
Oh, I'd be ecstatic for a fourth rounder for him. I don't know what his worth is right now.
Yeah, I don't know if that gets you that.
Does the leadership thing come into play too? You know, a guy that's been there, done that, like for a younger team that maybe is... throwing a team out there, like the Cardinals, for example.
Right.
Like, they're a younger team on the up, but they haven't quite been there before. They might need a leadership.
Sure.
I think that might up your value a little bit.
I think
bit.
It would. Yeah, you might see that it's worth investing a little bit more in. But then you really are hitching your wagon to Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert is part... Really?
Well, they haven't signed him to an extension, and Sirianni, other than the red zone, it doesn't seem like his offense... caters to the tight end position all that much.
Well, Frank Reich, I didn't think, thought as much of it. But then you saw what Doug Peterson wanted to do, and Doug Peterson loved the tight end. So who knows what's going to come together there. But be watching for that. This would be a great week to have the tight ends. And if you could run them down the seam, that'd be against this team. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And Bob wants to talk more about it in Cooney's Corner.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
I'm really, really interested, and we hit on it in the first segment here, but I am really interested, and I think it's the biggest part of the game tomorrow night, is how Nick Sirianni and this offense does attack this Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary. Now, you have two guys, two cornerbacks that are on IR for them. John, you pointed out the numbers, 314 yards a game, 73% completion percentage.
That's so terrible. I mean, that's terrible.
You had good quarterbacks. Dak Prescott went for 403. Stafford went for 343. Matt Ryan went for 300. And then your mediocre guys like a Mac Jones and a Jacoby Brissett, they went for 275s. You know, so quarterbacks are getting their numbers against Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay can throw up big numbers themselves, and a lot of times when that happens, numbers get inflated, as we very well know. But this doesn't seem to be really the case with Tampa Bay. And Ricky Patalco can be a witness to this. He is a huge Tampa fan, watches them, and is very much in tune with what's going on with them. He says their secondary just sucks. So do I think that Jalen Hurts is going to have a decent day throwing the ball? I do. I really have confidence in that. My question does come from Nick Sirianni. How is he completing these passes? I don't want to see dink and dunk. I want to see something different. I want to see balls downfield. I'm not talking about, 50-yard passes, but I've been calling for it. I want to see Devontae Smith catching the ball fully on a run, maybe on a slant.
You've very rarely seen completions
Never.
Like that.
I can't say it. How about a wheel route out of the backfield? We haven't seen that, exploiting linebackers at all. I need different designs. I need different schematic thoughts from Nick Sirianni going against a depleted secondary. And you really, really have to take advantage of that in a way that you haven't taken advantage of things before. And we need to see that Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni has to be at his best on Thursday night in his design. Well, it's right out there for you. You're playing against a bad secondary right now because of injuries.
I wonder if Bowles will drop back more, Pat. Whether he'll be dropping more guys back to just say, almost challenge them
like
to run the
underneath.
Ball.
Yeah,
And try to say you're going to throw it into traffic more for Jalen Hurts?
That would make, I feel like, the most sense for them. I mean, Todd Bowles knows his secondary is trash right now. He also knows that his team's coming in that throws the ball ad nauseum. So yeah, you got to kind of keep them at bay in the end, challenge them to run the ball. The thing about that, and we've gone through the stats, Miles Sanders is a really good running back, and they really like Kenneth Gainwell, and for good reason. From what we've seen early on in his career, he looks good. So the offense should be able to put up points. That shouldn't be the problem. The problem is the defense stopping Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's a game where you can maybe, in the short passing game, maybe get a guy like Gainwell loose.
I legitimately...
A Westbrook type of game.
Yeah, I legitimately want to see the run set up the pass. Early on, I don't want to see RPOs where they decide to hand off. No, I want to see straight, under center, boom, handoff, gut run, gut run, gut run. I want to see them establish a little bit of a run game early. And just as you said, John, and that was going to be my next point, bring those linebackers creeping up a little bit more, then it's zing, zing, zing. Then it's you really open up some passing game, and then boom, a run here, a run there. I think the running game has to set up this passing game a little bit, especially early on. And I'm not talking about short passes.
No, exactly.
It's the same as a run game. No, run the... I almost cursed.
No,
run
it's the truth, ball. Though. Well, people are starting to get to that with him. Bob's even wanted to curse a couple times talking about it this week.
Yeah, it's so
starting
frustrating.
To get there, yes.
I mean, like, you know, we're going to have Adam Schefter on, and he said it last week or the week before. He started both Eagles running backs on his fantasy team thinking, okay.
It had to be this week.
Yeah, like, they'll run the ball, and then it's just like, no, I'm not going to do it.
I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm not going to.
So quit asking.
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Sirianni just confounds me. But again, he might be a young man, a young coach finding his way that is just pushing the wrong buttons.
Yeah, wrong buttons and not talented buttons to push. You know, like it all starts with the quarterback, obviously, but. To me, I mean, we talked about this before. The offense has talent. There's no question about it. Now, the offensive line has been crushed this year, but they've played okay.
They have.
So, yeah, I need to see a real good game plan. And I think we know that they can pass the ball. They should pass the ball against this team. But I'd like to see it set up early with runs.
He has not been under duress. Pat, Jalen Hurts has not been on jailbreak. I mean, he has not been under constant duress.
No, he's...
Which is something I expected to have seen more of.
He's had a pretty clean pocket to throw in. I mean, even last week when they had that makeshift offensive line, and, you know, credit to Jeff Stoutland, they've had to move some pieces. Yeah, he was probably under duress more last week than he was in any other game. But for the most part, this has been a perfect situation to judge Jalen Hurts in his career because of the fact that that offensive line has held up.
Hey, beers with Bob tonight.
Yeah, me and Andrew.
In studio?
We'll be in studio tonight hanging out. Me and Andrew Salchunas, 6 to 7. Get home, kick back, get your favorite beverage, and we'll have fun stuff to talk about.
I think Rodney's going to send the memo to you. Have the beer with a lid. So, like, maybe you can, you know, have your beers, because you like to have a good beer with the show. Have a beer with, like, a tumbler or something like that.
Beers, Rodney, tough guy.
Beers with Bob tumbler.
Gee, I never thought of that.
Beers with Bob tumbler. It's a good job tonight at 6.
We'll have fun.
The Beers with Bob Tumblr. So I pull up the YouTube window and I see a Tim where I agree with Tim completely. Thursday night football. I think it's also, he thinks it's a terrible concept in his word. I would say if it wasn't a ratings bonanza for the NFL, it's hard to say something is a terrible concept. Even though I feel like Tim does. I hate Thursday night football. Yeah. I'm bummed that the Eagles are playing a Thursday night game.
I'm not a huge fan either.
I hate it.
I like the Thursday night college games because
yes.
It was cool.
Yes.
It was the start of the weekend, and that was great. But look, we've all been around NFL players, and I've told you this story before. John Runyon, when he used to come on Daily News Live all the time, watching him just try to get his body ready for a week of football. I mean, it's crazy what these guys go through. To have that quick turnaround, it's almost unfair on their bodies.
Your second bye week, though, Pat, is the way a lot of them look at it because they'll usually get 3 days off.
Yeah.
So they look at it as almost like a second bye week.
I look at it as it sucks.
I hate it.
It does. It's
the ratings, though.
Oh, and that's the thing. Like,
since
the ratings.
Since they moved it to Fox or CBS, they did CBS first, I think, on Thursday night primetime. Then they went to Fox. The ratings are killer. Yeah. It dominates everything.
Is that a surprise? You could put football every day of the week.
So does it make it a terrible concept if the public laps it up? Like, we think it's all terrible. The three of us all hate it.
Yeah.
But the ratings are boffo for it.
Well, the NFL
has shown that they'll own days of the week. And think about what they're up against. I mean, they're up against MLB playoffs. Ratings are always down for Major League Baseball.
Right.
Hockey just started yesterday. So there's not a lot of competition for sports fans out there. So, of course, yeah, okay, because of fantasy, you're going to watch it probably. You probably have a couple guys on the team. And then just because there's nothing else to watch.
Breaks your heart a little bit, though, watching last night, watching baseball. The Phillies could have been very competitive. They could have been very competitive in a series against Milwaukee. And the Braves go to the NLCS again. And the Phillies could have competed in a five-game series with Milwaukee. They beat them in the regular season. They dominated them in the regular season.
Yeah. How good is Freddie Freeman, though? He goes in the batting cage yesterday and says, I got to start spraying the ball a little bit more to left field. Gets three hits last night, including the game-winning homer, all to left field.
It's unbelievable.
That amazes me when a baseball player is that good that they can concentrate on something hitting-wise and go out and do it.
He's exactly the guy you'd want leading your franchise.
I can't stand him.
I'll tell you what.
You'd love him.
I would.
I know
like,
you would.
It's a situation. I respect the hell out of him, but I hate him because he's so good.
He's incredible.
Yeah, does it get on your nerves how friendly he is to guys at first base? Like yesterday, a guy, I forget who it was, Milwaukee, was having like a neck problem, and he walks. He gets to first, and Freddie Freeman starts rubbing his neck.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be Joe Tough Guy, and generally, I think I'm a nice guy, and I probably would ask the guy, hey, how you feeling? You all right? But I don't know if I'd like a teammate rubbing an opponent's neck in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a fan of the chummy stuff either. He's an interesting cat, though.
Yeah, it seems like
he is truly a fantastic person and a great leader.
Yeah,
and a great player.
Well, just give him a hand in stone gift card and call it.
That's
day.
What we did. Yeah, get
like you're not a professional.
Hand in stone,
Freddie.
Just hand it right over, Freddie.
Come Maybe on, that's what Freddie was yourself. Giving him. He Freddie, said, "Here, this is from 97.5 The Fanatic up in Philly."
He said,
"Stressed out during the game."
He's so damn good.
Head to the contest page.
Pat, you have an opinion on the best job in sports.
I was thinking
you
about this yesterday.
You have it.
I do.
So what I was suggesting earlier, that Amazon ad, I had put it to your attention.
Yeah, Bob, what does it say that every time that Amazon ad comes on, John tells me, hear this, Pat?
$22 an hour.
22, you saying. Might want to apply. What is
yeah,
that?
I don't know if he's going behind your back to the bosses or what, but I'm starting to lean that way.
$22 an hour.
Not a good sign.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this yesterday because, John, you said that you think the best job in sports would be Tom Brady's backup.
It's a great job. You're in Florida. No state tax.
Yeah.
You're making probably close to $3 million. And Tom Brady wants to play every snap.
There's no pressure.
None.
All you have to do is just sit there, show up to practice, hold a clipboard. Yeah, it's the life. You're probably making
That's because Frankenstein, Frank and Brady, you know, whatever they're doing at that TB12 lab, whatever he's taking, whatever they're doing.
Oh, yeah. It's the fountain of youth.
It is.
Which is ironic because, you know, Florida was originally thought as the place, the fountain of youth.
It is.
Anyway. So the NHL season kicked off last night, and the first game was Pittsburgh versus Tampa Bay, and they had the, by the way, Blaine Gabbert's making $2 million, so
$2
million to hold a clipboard.
That's not
so
bad.
The first game of the season is Tampa Bay versus Pittsburgh, and they had the cup. They bring the cup out because Tampa Bay won the cup last year, and you see, I don't know his name, but you see the same guy every year holding the cup.
Yep.
He's like the keeper of the cup. He's the cup keeper.
Yeah, he's got the gloves on.
Yeah, the gloves, the terrible haircut that never changes.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, that's got to be a cool job. Like, one, how do you even get that job? But two, like, that might be one of the coolest jobs, if not the coolest job in sports.
He's a Stanley. He's a legacy of the Stanley family.
That's
so he gets to keep the cup. So
all he does.
That's all he does.
Is just tour around with the... Everyone's pumped.
He's the great-great nephew of the Stanleys, honey.
Is that what it is?
I'm just teasing you.
I don't know, because truly, like, where do you apply for the job?
Of the cup keeper?
And you're literally that's your job for 30... plus years.
See, this is what I'm envisioning. That he's sitting down to watch the Bond movie, and he's like, hey, Cup,
the
can
cup
I get anything?
With him?
Yeah.
I think it's a very sad life. I disagree with you.
You know
like,
where
he's on a plane with a cup?
You know where they keep the cup, though? The cup is in a...
He goes
in
for a walks with a cup.
Yeah. A four-wheeled steel container with foam, and they just slide it in.
Yep, they put it
then
together.
They put it, and then boom. It's
Bob
done.
Wouldn't be good at that, because he told us about his erector set problem.
Yes.
On the Lego
Dr. Avi Donapel can help with that, though.
He can help with that, yeah.
Dr. Avi Donapel is, if Bob has a problem with the erector set.
There's a lot of options out there for you, Bobby. But yeah,
I like that job, eh?
I think that might be one of the coolest jobs. Everybody's pumped to see you.
Oh, yeah.
You enter a room and everybody's excited. That doesn't happen for us, guys. We've entered many rooms before and it's like, oh, these jagaloons.
I would love to see the. It's an awesome thing.
Bob, do you have a best job in sports? Well, I shouldn't be asking you. You went from beat writer of a pro team to this.
You've sort of had great jobs in sports.
Yeah, you've lived, man. You have a show called Beers with Bob. No, what other industry do you have a show called Beers with Bob?
I'm going to tell you what Bob's would be.
Good point.
I'm going to tell you a guess of Bob's. High school, a in retirement, Bob coaches high school basketball.
I would love to coach high school basketball. I was lucky enough to do it for a while, but probably a greenskeeper.
Oh, really?
Like when we were at Huntington Valley the other day, and those guys are out there at 5 o'clock in the morning.
You'd
and
like that
course? Oh my God! I have honest to God, when I've made friends at courses around my old house and stuff that worked at golf courses, I said I'll be back in like 10, 15 years. Like, can I put my application in now? Yeah,
that's a good idea.
But it's funny. Yesterday we had a guy come over real quick, an inspector. For some stuff that we haven't done. And I go to open it. I'm like, hey, come on in. I thought it was just somebody that's going to do work on the house. And I see inspector and I look up and it's a guy I went to high school with.
Really?
And we're good. And great, great guy. And he comes in and we're talking. He's like, dude, you've had the best jobs of anybody could ask for. And I was like, yeah, Jimmy, you're right. I cannot argue with you.
There you
absolutely
go.
Right.
That is awesome, though. Yeah. When you meet up with people that you haven't seen in forever,
he and my wife
awesome.
went to the freshman prom together.
Really?
In high school. And oh yeah, great dude, Jimmy Messina, you're the man.
Which approach do you want to take on Thursday night? There's been two that we've seen. Which one do you want? We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. You know today's vehicles, you got to maintain them. You want to get maximum performance. And as we head into the cold winter months ahead, you want to trust Meineke to keep your vehicle safe and on the road. Why? Because your local Meineke is owned and operated independently. They're part of your community. You can get a full synthetic oil change right now for $59.95. They throw in the free tire rotation. The semi-synthetic oil change is just $29.95. You can rely on Meineke for maintenance of your car for everything. Brake service right now. How about this one? 50% off brake pads and shoes. That is a great savings for you. Sign up for Meineke Rewards, and they're going to throw in free towing. This all works out for you. With that free check engine light scan going on too, you can constantly count on Meineke. They're in your neighborhood. They do car care right, independently owned and operated, and they're hiring. Go to Meineke.com/careers and get more details. Get on into your local Meineke center today. Tell them you heard it on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The 7 a.m. hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. Bobby, how's your windshield?
Good.
Is it good to have a little ding in it or anything like that?
No.
It's fine?
Good to go. I can see
it. Pat, how's your windshield? Good? The little dings in it or anything?
I think it's all right. It's for okay. Now.
Mine are pretty good. Coach, is yours okay?
Yep.
No, it's not.
It's great.
You got little dings in it.
No. Nice and clear. Can see like crystal right through the windshield.
Coach has little dings in his windshield.
Am I clear?
Yeah. This is going to turn into an on-air fight because I'm not happy with you at all, Kincaid.
I'm trying to
wait,
get...
Wait, I got to hit the drop, Coach.
There
hold
it is.
Hold off on that.
Oh, let's air out our dirty laundry.
Yes. Coach's windshield's a little dingy.
I don't go last name very often. But Kincaid, you really pissed me off when I was just in that studio.
Why? Because your windshield can be repaired and you don't like it?
So my car got pelted with a bunch of rocks.
See, Bob, now I'm getting annoyed at you because you said you weren't going to go there, but now you're going there.
Bob, stop. Yeah. Just grab the popcorn
and
watch.
Well, I mean, we can't bring something up on the air and the listeners hear something and they don't know what we're talking about. So
true.
We have to. So
yes, we have
like to. Maybe 2 months ago, not even 2 months ago, I was behind a truck who hit a really big bump in the road, and all kinds of rocks and everything came out to the back of the truck and pelted the front of my car. So paint chipped off the front of the hood and my windshield, I would say, who knows, 50, 60 little tiny nicks in my windshield.
That's terrible.
And I want it replaced.
So you want a brand new windshield?
Yeah. It's not cracked, but there's tiny, tiny little, you know, specks all over it now from all the rocks hitting it. And it's, you know, it's a pain in the rear end to look out and see all these tiny little specks.
You know that they can do that, though, without replacing your windshield.
It's not going to look like a new windshield. I know how they replace it. They put the little putty or whatever it is in the cracks. It's not a crack.
They put Play-Doh.
They put a little needle into it now.
A little Play-Doh.
They make it look perfectly new.
Give me $20. I'll
do it. They don't. It's not going to look perfectly
new. Someone is a windshield replacement person. Please, yes.
So here's how it all went down, and I'll enter. Coach came in and asked how much we think it costs to get a windshield replaced.
Right.
We guessed
wrong. I just threw out something because I had one replaced, but John went real big on the, yo, you don't need to replace it, you can fix it, and that's what pissed Coach off.
Because he said there's no cracks in it.
He just asked a simple question, but it got to be a longer dialogue. Yeah. Than you were looking for.
Correct.
Am I right on that? Okay. There's the synopsis.
Yeah, so I go back to my original question. How much does it cost to replace a windshield? And then John said, no, it's free. It's not free.
If they come out, I am telling you, I've had little dings in my windshield replaced with my insurance. It was free.
Well, you must have special insurance.
I got no bill. They came and did. Now, if you have to have your windshield replaced, you pay your deductible, I would figure.
Yeah, and that's what I asked
for. Back to the original question.
Yeah. But you want, no, it's because you want that. It's not because you need it, it's because you want it. Because no, they can make your windshield look great.
No, they can't.
Okay, somebody tell Coach they can.
Too many dings in it. It needs a new windshield.
Hey, if you put
how much does that cost?
You put a $50 bet down on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can get +120 odds, and you can get the Philadelphia football team with 50 points tomorrow night. That's our friends at Park Sportsbook. You will absolutely love them. Check it out. That's for new and existing customers, and I've already put my 50 down to take advantage of it. That could handle Coach's deductible, maybe. Could very do well.
No more talk of windshield.
Do you want to play it close to the vest and hope to hang around long enough to make some magic in the fourth quarter? Or do you want to attempt to go toe-to-toe with Tampa? I think that's the dilemma that Nick Sirianni and his coaching staff faces tomorrow. And I heard the guys from Inside the Birds on their show talking about the fact that Nick Sirianni, they have no idea what his identity is as a play caller. No idea of his identity as far as offensive philosophy, and we're 5 weeks in. I think we all believe he tried to roll the dice. He went with a go-for-it strategy against Dallas. I'm going to trade score for score with him, and it failed absolutely miserably. He played the more conservative style and trailed the Chiefs by 5 points with 12 minutes to play in another. We all remember the magical Super Bowl game plan of Doug Peterson and Frank Reich with all gas, no breaks. So tomorrow night, do you want them to win this game? Not what you think they're going to do. What do you want? And if you want to share a thought, you can at 610-632-0975. Do you want them to use the Dallas-style ultra-aggressive game plan? Or do you want them to duplicate the Chiefs' game plan and make Tom Brady go 10, 12 plays to score touchdowns and hope to hang around in the end? What's the way you would want them to go? Not what you think they're going to do, but would you want them to go?
Offensively, yeah, you have to slow the game down a little bit. Then in some way, you have to slow it down. You're not going to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. I don't think this offense can go toe-to-toe with pretty much anybody in the league. Maybe, you know, the Jets or something like that and the Giants. But, no, you can't go toe-to-toe so much. So I would like to keep... Look, I've said this before. I would like, when you have this type of offense that the Eagles do, keep the other team off balance. We are all going into this, and as you said, Bruce Arians knows that his defensive secondary is depleted. You would think throw, throw, throw. I would like to see the Eagles run at the beginning of the game to set up the throw.
Okay.
I want Tampa to think the Eagles are going to look to run the ball tonight because that's what you're doing at the beginning of the game in order to set up the throw. So that's what I would like to see. I would like to see more throws than runs, obviously. I'm not going to come in here on Friday morning saying I can't believe they didn't throw more, but I want them to set it up. Set up the throw with the run. And defensively, yeah, you're going to have to hope to keep Tom Brady on the field for 10, 11 play drives. I mean, that's, yeah, you got a hell of a wide receiving core there. I mean, Evans and Brown and Godwin, those guys are really, really good.
I want the Kansas City game plan, Pat, and the reason why I want it is not only do I want to limit the possessions for Brady, but I believe they will not have multiple touchdowns called back. There will be opportunities to score touchdowns, and I have to think at some point this team doesn't stops dummying up.
They need to
and starts getting smarter.
If they want any prayer of winning this football game, they have to control time of possession, and it's got to be astronomical. It's got to be. I mean, and it'll be a frustrating game to watch, but it's got to be every single drive is a long, sustained, you know, converting third and twos. Their third down numbers have to be great because you're right. You want to keep the hands out of that guy's, or the ball out of that guy's hands as much as possible because he will light you up. If you look at the scores of their season, he's been going off. So this isn't a hard game to figure out. You know, hey, throw on their bad secondary and keep the ball out of Brady's hands, and you might win.
Does the over look like just a stupidly easy bet? And could we all be getting just sort of suckered in?
I didn't see it yet.
I'm looking at the what is it this morning? Because I looked at it yesterday, and I just want to make sure because these numbers do move for tomorrow night's game. There is a the over-unders right now. The over-unders 52.
Yeah, okay. I got 52.5 here.
Okay.
It was 6.5 yesterday or the day before. Now it's up to 7.
Now it's up to 7.
Yeah.
That looks, the 52.5 looks like a stealing candy from a baby.
It looks like an easy over, yeah.
And that makes me suspicious.
It does.
Because they don't build the $1 billion casinos from us being smart.
No, they, yeah.
And
they,
if you've
they,
seen that Parks Casino, it's gorgeous.
They get us more than we get them, that's for certain.
Yeah. Pat, it looks like an easy over.
Yeah, well, yeah, it should
be. Yeah, see, it should be.
But on Thursday Night Football, it's usually not. I think because there's a stat that you can probably look into.
They misfire.
I think usually they don't end up scoring as many points you necessarily think because of the short week. So, but I'll be betting the over.
I'd like
and
to.
And I'll be complaining about it on Friday.
If you have a thought about how they should approach it, do you want the... They tried to go toe-to-toe with Dallas. And to me, that was the most disheartening thing I've seen all year. And I think everybody would agree. That game was, plus partly because of the opponent, was just so terrible. But if you want to share a thought, you can at 610-632-0975 about what you would prefer. I'd love to think that you could just go up and down the field and trade scores with Brady, but I've seen this team shoot itself in the foot so often.
Yeah.
That I'm thinking the self-inflicted wounds would keep them from being able to close the deal.
Yeah, to me, it's just unrealistic to think you can go toe-to-toe with Brady. It's like thinking you can go in and go toe-to-toe with Tyson. No, you can't. You had to go in and establish a jab first, which Buster Douglas did, and then it opened up a whole new thing of how to fight Mike Tyson. This has to be a jab game, and that's what I talk about with the run. Get the run going, set up the jab before you can start throwing haymakers. And the haymakers is throwing on that depleted secondary. Quick hit runs is really what I want to see. Not RPOs.
I think Gainwell could have a big game.
Yeah, just boom. Under center, snap, boom, go. Between tackles, maybe some outside stuff, whatever you see fit. Get Gainwell and Sanders going early, you know, and then you start sprinkling in the passes that are going to become more open. I think they have to have some kind of a diverse game plan.
If you've got a high school senior like I do, then you need to visit collegeav.com. It's the emotional support system that's going to help guide you through this college journey from start to finish. Literally 3 minutes. You sit down with your college senior and you say, okay, if you end up needing $30,000 over 4 years, if you end up needing $60,000 over 4 years, this is what it's going to cost you. College Ave will help you and your high school senior understand the college loan process because all they do is college loans. So check them out. They do a great job with that. And you got Beers with Bob tonight. Don't miss it. With Bob and Tunis tonight.
Yeah.
In studio.
We're in studio. Grab yourself a nice cocktail at 6 o'clock. Sit back and relax. We'll have fun with it.
Here's a very formal name. Cameron. Very formal name. I like that. Cameron is on the Fanatic. Good morning, Cameron.
Hi, how's it going, John?
What's up, buddy?
So I was just trying to talk about the game plan tomorrow. I think you guys have it all right defensively. I think that we need to slow Tom Brady down. I do think we need to pressure him, though. I don't think that we can give him 13 play drives. He doesn't make mistakes like other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, he's, but the thing is, though, if you just, if you were willing to slow it down, he's not going to score a touchdown every drive. I mean, he's not, even though that's what Patrick Mahomes did. That was an oddity. That was an odd day. I don't think you're going to see that again. But I would believe if you give Brady 8 possessions, he's going to score probably on 6 of them.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
I just want to see, I want to see the Bucs punt twice, Cameron.
Well, I'm talking about the, it was a stat that I believe Jamie brought up about the 8 plays as the plays for turnover.
Yes.
I think that Tom Brady, I don't think that really matters with Tom Brady. I think he's proven that. You know, I think we need to put pressure on him, get the ball out of his hands early, and, like, force his other players to win the game for him rather than let him just throw 15-yard dump passes and just move the ball like nothing.
You got some good mushrooms out there in Kennett Square?
You know, we are the mushroom capital of the world, but I'm not a huge fan myself.
I'm not either. Don't like the consistency of mushrooms.
Jamie hates mushrooms.
Good job,
Cameron. I love mushrooms.
I like mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
You love them?
I'm a mushroom guy.
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you saute them?
Saute.
I'll saute mushrooms with like garlic and maybe some peppers and
Ooh.
Stuff and just make it a side dish.
Really?
That people can grab and put on if I'm making burgers or they can just have it as a, like I said,
Look
like
at
a
you.
Side dish. Oh, yeah.
All right, it's time to take our drive around the league.
Now, let's take a drive around the league with John Kincaid.
Presented by Tire Tech USA. $50 alignments, dealer quality service at a fraction of the cost.
Strap in. Here's John.
Okay, I've got some odd stories from around the NFL.
They do windshields there?
They do not. I think Tire Tech USA probably could do a lot of things for you.
About 250, Coach.
Come on, Coach. Let's do the... Yesterday, the question was brought up about Aaron Rodgers by Pat Egan. There is a quarterback in the NFL that is hated more than Aaron Rodgers by opposing fan bases. This is by a poll that was conducted in 2020. Aaron Rodgers came up 2 on the most hated quarterbacks by opposing fan bases. I'm going to tell you, number 1 is not Tom Brady.
Blaine Gabbert.
The most hated opposing quarterback in a 2020 poll where Brady was 3 and Rodgers was 2. Number 1. By opposing fan
bases. Carson Wentz.
Dak Prescott.
No. I was shocked by this name.
Russell Wilson.
No. I couldn't believe that. We're not
Daniel
getting the name.
Daniel Jones.
No.
Just tell us when we hit it. Trevor Lawrence.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, you know, that makes sense. Yeah, screw that guy.
Really? You think that he's the most hated guy in the...
He's
like
a
it was.
Scumbag.
He, by the way, he won this, like, going away.
Yeah, when I really think about it, like the guys that I the guys that I was mentioning are more annoying,
right.
I think, to fan bases. Like, Dak is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. That's annoying. Russell Wilson has his wife.
On the field, annoying stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, more so.
Well,
yeah.
No, this dude's just like a bad guy.
Well, yeah. Ben Roethlisberger won. He edged out Aaron Rodgers. And then there was a huge drop-off down to Tom Brady. But I was just shocked. I never think of Ben Roethlisberger being that despised or anything like that around the NFL. Like, by opposing fan bases.
I think he's despised because of his off-the-field stuff.
People just don't like him.
Jamie can't even say his name. He hates him so much.
Can't stand him.
Yeah.
The amount of male cheerleaders this year in the NFL. Put a number on the amount of people that are employed as a male cheerleader in the NFL this year.
60.
To a team, yeah, I'll say 35.
How about 19?
Oh. That's it.
19.
It's a good gig.
I think it's a pretty good gig, right?
It's a very good gig.
By the way, the most popular job of a male cheerleader in the NFL, what is their job? There's a common job that they share.
Yeah, they have to hold the woman up with one hand.
They cheer. What's the common job they have? No, they're full-time jobs.
Oh, they're full-time. Bartender.
Not a bad guess, Bob. You have a guess?
Financial consultant.
Financial consultant?
Windshield repair. No, it's not. Teacher. Teacher. The most common thing. So for a female NFL cheerleader, the number one profession of the NFL cheerleaders' full-time jobs.
Cosmetology.
The number one shared profession. It's not cosmetology.
Would that fall under hairdresser?
Yeah, I was looking for like
stylist, I should say.
That would fall under that. So not that.
Let's go.
Teacher again.
Really?
The number one thing is teachers.
What a lot of hot teachers out there.
Teachers being.
Whoa.
And Pat's talking about the male cheerleaders.
Yeah, obviously.
That too. So he's not.
I'm an
being,
equal opportunist,
he's not
Bobby.
Being creepy or sexist there.
Wow.
The worst food in the NFL, voted by a AAA poll. Travel.
What
worst
stadium?
Food. Worst food. Where do you think the stadium that is voted to have the worst food in the NFL?
I would say it would have been the Raiders.
No, I
disagree. Yeah, but now they're in Vegas. Now they're in Vegas.
I'll go No, they got brats.
I'll go LA.
I'll go Pitts.
LA was the answers last week. It's not this week.
I'll say it's Jacksonville.
Carolina. Where the Eagles just played.
Barbecue. Carolina barbecue is unbelievably good.
But what else do you have?
Okay,
is the question there.
Sometimes that's enough. What else do people say about Philly? What else do they have? Cheese steaks.
They have pretzels. They have water ice.
On StubHub, where do most fans, when they're shopping for tickets, click first on the stadium when they click by section? Do they click?
133.
Do they click between? Do they click between the 20s? Do they click end zones? Do they click upper level?
Ooh.
First place they click on according to StubHub.
I'll say upper level, because if you're going StubHub, you're looking cheap.
I will go with 50-yard line.
People check 50-yard line, Pat. People check between the 20s. Between the 20s, the most common click is actually between the 40s. So people go and shop at, the highest place you could possibly pay.
Yeah.
That to me seems strange.
I don't get it. I'm going cheapest ticket available.
The average price of a bottle of water in the NFL this season in their stadiums. A bottle of water, 12 ounces.
I'll go $4.50.
$6.
Actual retail price, $4.25.
Ah, we both.
You both went over. Neither one of you gets it.
No, well, Bob said what? Oh, you said $4.50.
$4.50 went over.
Way to go, Bob.
Price is right. So. Okay, so there is your drive around the league. Crazy stories.
Yeah.
Just try to find you some crazy numbers.
I like that stuff.
But there was, I didn't get any of those when I read them. I didn't get any of them right.
Well, that's why they make the segment.
Yeah, but you would think you would, get them right. Well, exactly. But I would think I'd get, you'd have a handle on something.
I won it, and it's only because you told us.
I'm pretty dumb sometimes. I am. I'm more than pretty dumb sometimes.
Self-awareness is key, Johnny.
It is. It's gotten me far. Can help you out with that. Hey, Ben, please listen to Mr. Amazon. And Pat, it's not about the jobs. We'll have that next. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hopefully you're having some fun on this Wednesday morning. We got a game tomorrow night. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know, in the past year, my life has taken a lot of twists and turns. It's been a bit of a struggle bus at times, but a lot different than I expected. Olivia going to college next fall is a big part of it. Right now, her in Atlanta finishing out her senior year high school, and me here, and we're both trying to figure out what are going to be the financial ramifications of where she decides to go to college. Now, she's a pretty skilled student, so she's going to get scholarship money. But is she going to get enough to cover it all? And is she going to cover the cost of tuition otherwise? So we went to collegeav.com, and simple. We really did this process. We did it together. You go to collegeav.com with your high school senior, and you figure out, okay, how much would borrowing $20,000 for college cost? How much would borrowing $50,000 for college cost? And College Ave, in a matter of 3 minutes, they can tell you, this is what your monthly payment would be after graduation if you borrow $20,000, if you borrow $30,000, if you borrow $50,000. It allows your student to make the most intelligent choices and allows you to put your mind at ease. They guide you through the college loan journey start to finish, because collegeav.com, all they do is college loans. They're absolutely awesome. Sit down with your high school senior this week, getting ready to go to college, and go to collegeav.com. I promise you, you both are going to feel a lot better about the process when you do.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Connor really delayed getting back
from the break there.
He has some business to take care of.
I think he did. That wasn't pleasant for him. John Kincaid show on The Fanatic. We're waiting for Connor. We're hoping Connor was all right there.
I tried to peg him, but I missed him.
Bob was trying to peg Connor.
Why couldn't he peg him?
I don't know.
Bad aim on my part. I tried to bounce it off the wall and get him as he came in the door.
Do you usually peg coworkers?
I think he's
pegging something you like to do in your free time.
I think he was trying to peg Connor. That was the deal.
Are you the pegger or the peggy?
I've been both.
By the way, the fine folks in our YouTube chat are trying to help Coach with the windshield issue. Coach, you're getting some good help today from your friends in the YouTube chat. They're great people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to help you out there.
I appreciate them.
Seems like they're going to really be able to help you out there.
Yeah. Mark D, I'm sure he's ready to help me.
I'm sure he is. You know, other than Kyrie Irving, some people think fall's the best time of the year. It may also be a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. That message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer. Just a thought, Kyrie. Just a thought. I want Ben Simmons to listen to a message. Are you a fan of Jeff Bezos? Bob, the entrepreneur.
Sure. Anybody worth over $200 billion, I have to be a fan of.
Well, right, I mean, Pat? You don't have to be a personal fan of him, but, I mean, are you a
fan?
Are you a fan of his company? I am.
Yeah, I use his company quite a bit. Am I a fan of him?
Yeah, just his. I love.
Not really?
I like entrepreneurs.
Yeah, like, I don't, I'm indifferent on him.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't dislike him, but I'm not, you know, I don't have Jeff Bezos' fat heads on my wall.
There you go. Well, he was listening. He was being asked, and I wondered if Ben Simmons would listen to this. He said, people who are right a lot, listen a lot. People who are right a lot, change their mind a lot. They wake up, they reanalyze things, and they change their mind. If you don't change your mind frequently, you're going to be wrong a lot. People who are right a lot want to disconfirm their fundamental biases. I was wondering if Ben Simmons could take that message and could work with it. That be willing to just say, you know, hey, someone has an idea. I know this idea is counter to what my belief is. And maybe listen to it and then make adjustments accordingly. I wonder if the Ben Simmons that the 76ers are going to get back in the fold, what he's going to be like. Because he's going to have to go back and he's going to have to admit that he was wrong on some things, correct?
I don't know. I don't know if he's coming back.
Okay, are you, now can I ask you, without throwing anything under the bus, are you hearing that? Are you believing that? Okay.
No, I'm not talking about anyone I've talked to.
Okay.
But this popped into me this morning, John, as I was driving in. I don't think we hit on this. Do we know how they found out that he was back?
Elton Brand
got a text. You mean by texting? Yeah.
Elton Brand got a text saying, hey, he can't get in the building. He's here to get his COVID test. I don't know. Does that kind of reek of a guy to you that says, I want to come back and play or I'm just coming back?
No, he wanted to sneak in.
Yeah.
He was sneaking in.
That's who you blame him?
Because he heard all about he heard about the organized groups that... Mr. Dumas...
Yeah.
Was saying those organized groups were coming to boom. He wanted to avoid them.
Well, and he was really terrified, too, because it was actually at night when people would be free instead of, you know, in the middle of the day.
Like, I don't know. If you're coming back and you're going to put your tail between your legs and you're going to say, I'm sorry, or you're going to say, yeah, you know, I got some bad advice. And this is what people have to be clear on. And I was watching the news last night and people commenting on it. Ben Simmons has said nothing. Don't say, well, he said he doesn't want to play with Embiid and he doesn't want to be in Philly. He hasn't said a word. There's been nothing attributed to Ben Simmons. it's his people, whatever, have come out and said or told people. Ben Simmons has not gone on record and said anything. Now, that's not a defense of him, because as I've said on this show many times, if he disagrees with what's being said, he can certainly come out with a statement and say, I'm not saying that. That's
Amen.
Whatever.
Yes.
So, yes, is it should the fault go to him? Absolutely. But like he comes to the gate and says, I can't get in. Can somebody text Elton Brand to let me in? God, that doesn't seem like somebody that wants to put their tail between their legs and say, hey, I'm back. It reeks to me of, if I want to play in the league this year and collect my money, I need to pass a COVID test so other teams will want me in a trade.
Is there any chance that the Sixers told him, before we could ever move you, people want assurances that you are past COVID protocols? Is there any chance that he surprised them and showed up? Maybe they gave him that advice a week ago, 10 days ago, and he just showed up after getting that advice so they could make a deal.
I could absolutely see this happening somewhere along the line. It's, well, we can't do anything until you pass a COVID test. And then he comes, sneaks back in and says, okay, here I am. I'll take a COVID test.
Yes.
Look, the Sixers were caught off guard.
They were totally caught off guard.
There's no doubt about it.
And I think
the way it went down is crazy.
You know what? But I think the only reason I disagree with you on that is the fact that I think it took Clutch off guard a little bit. Because Clutch and the Sixers were in constant communication about getting him back. And, you know, that day was kind of crazy because the word leaks out with Woj and Shams that, you know, they're planning on actually having a resolution to this thing, but the Sixers expected it to be later in the week. It's not like Clutch knew and just kept it from the Sixers that he was showing up. That's idiotic. I mean, because then you've got Ben Simmons outside wondering why his key card doesn't work. I don't think that was a situation anybody wanted to play out. I don't think Clutch knew he was going. He hopped on a plane himself and came and just said, you know, let's just end this thing.
They did say that, is that he did get on the plane, but like nobody knew. It was a surprise to people.
Yeah.
So I do wonder about that.
I didn't even know Southwest goes from Philly to L.A.
Want to get away? I think he does.
I think Ben does.
He
made it clear.
I think he wants to get away. I love the fact that the tail between your legs, you got to come back. I love the whole story. There's so many different angles to it that I find interesting. Most of all, I want to see him have to face his teammates. And by the way, the only way he gets paid, the only way he has access to that money is if he's willing to go and work out, go meet the training staff, go do all those things. Now, he passed a physical, reportedly.
Yeah, so yesterday he went to the Camden site. To the practice site. The team didn't have practice yesterday.
Another reason that I think he did it when he did it.
Yeah, so he goes to the practice site yesterday, gets the physical, and apparently has a quick meeting with, I guess it would entail Elton Brand and Daryl Morey, and I don't know if Doc Rivers is in on there too. So, yeah, this is
a brief meeting. What does that sound like to you?
Hey, how are you?
Next steps.
I got the COVID test last night. I'm good, or whatever. What's our next step? I don't know. I don't know. You know, Joel Embiid comes out and says, yeah, we're happy to have him back, and this is the first move, or whatever. I cannot see this kid playing with this team this year. I just can't. I really can't.
I can.
I can, too.
I can. I
hear
think
you.
He will.
And I'm not saying
Pat,
right.
You and I have always been
that.
There.
Yeah, we have. But I think if he wasn't planning on playing, I think that would have been in Woj or Shams' report, that he was just coming back to save face a little bit, but really get his money, and then he planned to, you know, an injury popped up. Like, I feel like it would have been hinted at. It was more hinted at, Ben Simmons made his point. He feels like he made his point by holding out throughout training camp, and now he's back, but he hopes to still get traded. And the Sixers are holding to their point that
right.
We're a better team with him, and we want to convince him that 4 years left, this is the place to be.
Mopar says on the YouTube chat, was it for a COVID test or a feelings test?
Come on, Mopar.
It's a good line, Mopar.
It's been not a bad line.
Does Mopar have to put the boat away?
Depends on where he is.
Now? Yeah, I don't think Mopar's anywhere in this area.
He's in Antigua.
I mean, you got to put the boat away for the winter, right?
Not if you're. What if he's in Turks and Caicos?
I don't think he's in Turks and Caicos.
We don't know.
You think Mopar's just this mystery, international man of mystery?
I wouldn't doubt it.
You think he's going out on international waters and doing things?
It would not surprise me if Mopar was wanted by Interpol.
Could be. So that's why he goes by Mopar.
Yeah.
because the villains in the movies or always have a code name.
Mopar was the last cut for the Bond villains.
He was?
It's supposed to be Mopar, and then Remy Malek said, I'll do it, and they went, all right.
What would have been Mopar's thing, though? Like, what would have been his thing? He's on a YouTube chat, and it's created the dysfunction of the YouTube chat room.
Yeah,
he would have
hacked all the YouTube chats in the world.
Ah!
And
exposed the YouTube chats.
But also giving good commentary as well. And it would have thrown people off, because usually YouTube chats are full. Not ours, but usually YouTube chats are full with terrible commentary.
Yeah, ours is just fantastic.
Ours is great.
Could Coach make a cameo then if Mopar was the villain? Would you have to be knocked off in like one of the first scenes?
No.
Mopar covering his identity when Bond was trying to chase
him down. Coach would be the guy in the movie who is sitting there going, I don't know what's going on. We need Bond. This Mopar guy has hacked all our systems. Get me Bond.
I think Coach is the mastermind of all things evil.
You're damn right.
I really think Coach would be the secret villain.
How many people do you know that when they call you?
Yes. You can't tell who's calling.
How many people do you know are masterminds that don't have solid windshields?
Maybe,
like, that's a dead giveaway that Coach isn't this mastermind.
No, maybe
guy doesn't even have a good windshield.
Maybe he was hunting, gunning someone down, and they got into a gunfight.
You guys don't know what I do when I leave here.
We do. You tell us.
Don't want to know what you do.
I'm just thinking of the
Pez dispensers, and it gives me a little
that freaks out my mother.
The Pez dispenser.
She texted me the other day about how this guy's giving you crap, and he's Mr. Pez dispenser. Whatever it was that Coach was making fun of you for.
T-Dog from the top rope, but T-Dog doesn't come by and see us.
She's
anymore.
A working woman. She can't. She doesn't have the time. Although she could bake after work, give him the patent. He could bring him in the next day. I'm just saying.
Khalil says Coach is the villain. He believes Coach is the villain also.
Coach, who's your villain, bud?
Who's the villain?
Because there's always two sides to the story.
Coach, who'd be the villain?
Are we talking about just villain period or our YouTube chat? Because I got one that sticks out like a sore thumb.
Name names, coward.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, Tim on the YouTube chat says maybe Coach is Mopar. Yeah, you never know.
Could you ever see Mopar and
the coach in the same room at the same time?
Hmm.
I want to see Mark D and John in the same room.
Yes, I'd like to see that too.
If only that could have happened on Saturday.
It could have happened.
Mark D's questions. He was not at the, what do you say? He didn't show up at the game. He showed up at the practice facility. No, you're wrong. He showed up at the game on Monday or whatever night it was, and then the practice facility the next day.
And they said tickets are available on StubHub.
But he knew he wouldn't have to interact with anybody because they were on the court.
Did you guys see the video of him going into the Wells Fargo Center? It must have been fake then. It must have been from before. It was something of him going into the Wells Fargo Center, and he had like a hat on.
No, he didn't. That was fake.
They were like fresh off the plane or something.
That had to be fake.
Could have been fresh off the boat.
A good show.
A great show. I loved it.
Yeah, I really like that show.
Jamie Lynch joins us, by the way, at 8:45. We'll see if he's getting any sleep. You know, that our coworker.
I thought we got rid of him.
Yeah, I thought he. I didn't hear that. I thought we were having a contest to replace him.
The
locker number was changed.
Well, let's check.
He's right now. He's outside and he's trying to get a COVID test to come back in.
Let's find out what's in Pat's takes.
With or without, either way, it's time for Pat's takes.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Patrick.
All right, we'll start off with hockey, a sport that I like. I was pretty confused when players from my hockey team bought me lighters because, you know, I don't smoke. I was also quite surprised when I hopped on Twitter and the entire team had tweeted to their followers saying, you've got to follow Pat. He's something.
Wow.
But then I found out the inspiration for their kindness. Nikita Papagov was a fourth round pick by the Devils in 2017, primarily playing in the KHL. He finished up last season with Nizhkamishk. I think I said that right. Yep, nailed it.
I don't think you did.
In 12 games, I'm like, why couldn't you play for Moscow? Like,
right,
that's easy
exactly.
to say. You got to play for Nizhkamishk. In 12 games, he had a meager 3 points. Hey, it happens to every hockey player. Either you walk away from the game or the game walks away from you. So at the age of 22, Papagov decided to break up with hockey, announcing his retirement with an Instagram post that had his equipment lit ablaze.
Really?
But it's what Papagov has decided to do with his post-hockey career that's really making the news. Because Papagov walked away from his pro-hockey career to become a social influencer.
He's got over 24,000 followers on Instagram.
24,000? That's not that much.
It's not. You know, but hey, let this be a little inspiration to all those pro athletes out there that your career in sports doesn't have to define you. You can also hop on social media and plug athleisure or shaving products as well. Unfortunately for my hockey team, I will not be retiring. But if you head on over to our Twitter account at 975JKShow, you can see a picture of him and the
burning his equipment.
Yeah, a little much, but he basically said, the last 5 years haven't been real fun for me. I'm kind of spent. I'm burnt out. So he decided to retire, move away, and try to hawk.
He's reading a magazine that he is on the cover of.
It's a power move.
I guess that's like, I
could see people doing
it's
that.
It's short-sighted.
It's, I wasn't surprised seeing he was 22.
No, exactly.
You know, where he said, I can make a career out of this. And, you know, maybe he can.
Maybe he could, sure, why not?
But he still would have had a career somewhere, whether it be the KHL or Austria.
He looks like the guy from Prison Break.
And Dominic.
The guy who was the star of Prison Break.
Yeah.
Dominic Hasek.
Dominic Hasek
was not the star of Prison Break, Bob.
Damn.
It's a good call, though. Yeah. Let me ask you, have you guys ever watched like a fictional movie or TV show and sat there?
Yes,
and
Yes,
like,
General Hospital.
Can I finish?
Yes.
I'll shut your mic off. I will start again. Have you guys ever watched a fictional movie or TV show and thought, yeah, I could do this? And I'm talking like things like John Wick and saying, hey, with the right training, I could be John Wick. Or Harry Potter and saying, you know, with the right friends, I could defeat Voldemort. Have you guys ever done that?
Not a fictional one, though.
No. Bob, all you do is watch sports. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Well, there are people out there that actually do that. And an Italian man did that very thing. But instead of John Wick or Harry Potter, his inspiration was the Netflix show Lupin. Lupin is a French show about a burglar who is inspired by the Maurice LeBlanc book series about Arsène Lupin, the gentleman burglar. Show is a good look at a man who seems constantly one step ahead of the police in his quest for revenge. It's really good.
I want to see that.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's quick, too. There's two seasons, but they're both five episodes. So the man watched both seasons, took notes, found his mark, put on a disguise, and headed to a church. So he waited for the bells to go off so it wouldn't bring attention to him breaking the glass of the church to break in. The bells went off. He broke in. And this guy was able to take the church for a king's ransom.
Oh.
$24 and an orange soda. That's all that was in there.
But he
also left a piece of himself in that church. When he broke the glass, he cut himself pretty good, so he had to go to the hospital where the cops' interrogation eventually broke him. He ended up coming clean to the crime, which is not exactly a Lupin move. When asked for a statement, the thief said, if I had to do it all over again, I think I would have just watched Squid Game because I'd never been able to pull that crap off.
Wait, you get interrogated if you show up cut at the...
It was his story wasn't adding up.
Yeah,
you know, there was this break-in.
Why wouldn't you just say I cut myself at home?
He tried, you know, initially, but his story started unraveling a little bit.
For so long, he smelled.
Yeah, it is going to blow your mind, but he doesn't exactly have the abilities of a fictional character to evade the police.
He should have just stayed
kind
in
of
the
an
church.
Idiot.
You have sanctuary there.
Well, I don't.
You could have got the nurse to come in there and just call sanctuary.
You could have,
yeah.
I guess. Uh-huh. And then you would have had your orange soda, and it would have probably been cold. Yeah. By the time he gets to the hospital, it's warm. And then finally, we have to say goodbye to somebody. Sad day, folks.
It is sad news.
Jamie really is gone?
No, he'll be back eventually. Your Fogey to God report. Well, apparently the Eagles don't know what talent is. Fogey to God had zero catches for 0 yards again this past week. But he
matching
was building
season high.
He was building towards something though. But the Eagles, on their asinine quest to tank, I guess.
Yes.
Cut Fogey to God loose. They said, you know what? We're going to let this pigeon fly. And Fogey to God has found a new home in Miami.
Fly, baby.
Fogey to God was claimed off waivers and signed to the Miami Dolphins practice squad. He's no longer a Philadelphia Eagle, but the hope for 1,000 yards remains.
It's not dead.
It's not dead.
It's not dead.
And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Fogey to God could have 1,000 yards.
Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have. We're sitting here. That's a strange thing.
I want to see it get to like 850 and then wonders.
And he sits out the last two
is
games.
Is the game coming?
Yeah. But I think it needed to be mentioned. We can't ignore these things.
No,
bad takes happen.
Fogey to God.
Pour one out, folks. It's
what
the end of the road.
What do you do with the jersey?
I don't have a jersey. You know what? But my buddy, though, one of my best friends who was in my wedding, got drunk during the you know
during
the,
your wedding
the month. Well, yes, but during the month,
month leading up to your wedding.
No, the month of Fogy to God, the month where he just lit the NFL on fire. He got plastered one night and ordered a Fulgham jersey.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I'll have him text it to me.
That's awesome.
No. Yeah.
And it was one of those immediate mistakes. He's like, I know this wasn't a good move.
Would he give it? Would he give it away? Can we put it up for auction?
I wear that with pride.
You think
he'd
give it away?
I can ask him.
For auction? Maybe we give it
he's
up for
a listener
auction?
To the show. He's probably up listening.
Okay, if he's one of your best friends, he better be a listener.
Yeah, he's
how many
up
best
there?
Friends do you have?
I would say I have two best friends. He's a okay. very, very close friend.
All right.
He was my college roommate.
What is the best friend criteria?
My one best friend I've been best friends with since third grade.
You could call your best friend middle of the night?
Yeah.
And they'd come to your...
My other one... Like, I had two best men at my wedding.
How'd you do that?
They just each made a speech.
So did Shunis.
Yeah, I don't think it's that weird because she had to pick... her sister, obviously.
Okay.
Which is like, I mean, come on, really? Like, by default. So she actually wanted her best friend to make a speech, like the real bride's, you know, the real maid of honor or whatever. But I also had these two guys that were clearly my best friends, and I didn't want to pick between the two. So I was like, hey, you guys are co-best men.
So you and Shunis both had two best men.
And so did Coach.
And yep. Coach did too?
Coach had me, and he had Matt Nahagian.
Coach, you had two best men also?
I did. Yeah.
What's with the two best men?
It must be popular.
Must be a popular
thing. Yeah, a lot of work to do.
Is that like a couple's?
I don't know what to tell you, man. Like we're very popular.
That is really.
You know, I got a lot of friends.
Couples.
I got Mopar. I got Mark D. I got Coach. I got Bob. I got Jamie Connor. You're a new friend,
right there. Exactly. Gonna count on me. I can't wait to see Pat in Vegas. Pat, have you or have you not been to Vegas?
I was. I was there when I was. Fifth grade. So it was right actually.
Oh, no.
It was after the 2001.
Okay.
Sixers.
I cannot wait to see it.
I told you, I got into it with a guy at an omelet station.
We're going to have so much fun.
11-year-old Egan was ready to knock.
I was wearing an Allen Iverson jersey. He was wearing a Shaq jersey. Ow. I let him know.
We are going to have so much fun in Vegas. In fact, it's 2 weeks away.
I can't wait to go see Smash Mouth.
I mean, it's not 2 weeks away, it's a week away.
It's going to be awesome.
We're 8 days away from. I mean, you got to get packed. And get ready to go to Vegas.
Gotta get packed.
Away.
I'll pack the night before.
Gotta get packed.
I'll pack on my way to work.
the NFL trade deadline looms. And what does it mean as we watch the Eagles down the stretch? We'll get to that. Adam Schefter joins us. And some guy named Jamie Lynch may stop by. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Have I got a great deal for you right now? Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Whether you are a new or an existing customer, this deal is there for you, and you got to jump on it now. Get in on a special bet for tomorrow night's game, the Birds versus the Buccaneers. A head start. Your local team, the Philly team, gets 50 points, and you get plus 120 against Tampa Bay. The Birds plus 50 at odds of plus 120 against Tampa Bay. I'll do the math. Bet 50, you're going to win 60. Parks Sportsbook app gives you the Birds plus 50 at great odds. Whether you are a new or an existing customer, it's a great offer. Download the app or go to pa.parkscasino.com. Parks Sportsbook. Bet with the home team. These folks are great. I'm picking up a 60 easy dollars. How about you? You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. And if you've got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That's promo code Cooney.
Not Cooney.
Kind of thought I was going to say poopy.
8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by, our friends at Martin Law. They are the law firm for injured workers. visit paworkinjury.com. paworkinjury.com. What's that promo code again, Bob?
It's Cooney. promo code Cooney.
There we go. That sounded very professional. Adam Schefter joins us coming up at 8:10. And if you've seen ESPN.com this morning and other media outlets, Adam is in the news this morning. So we'll have to ask him about it. And I'm sure Adam's not going to duck it. He'll answer a question probably and have something to say to us about it. But, you know, getting caught up in these emails, thankfully not slanderous, awful, racist, misogynistic emails. A totally different story, but we'll ask Adam about it coming up. And try to find out what he thinks about the Eagles' chances now at 2-3. He's probably checking out Philly Foods right now and thinking, oh, I got five more wins on this schedule.
Maybe.
He's probably thinking that.
Maybe.
He's probably feeling a little cocky and confident this morning with that. I would say that as we begin this 8 o'clock hour, we are 3 weeks until the NFL trade deadline. Coming up on November the 2nd. The Eagles will play the Bucks, travel to Las Vegas, and then go to Detroit in those before the trade deadline comes on November 2nd. At 2-3, I want to know if the result, the key word being the result, of any of the next three games would affect your decision-making about unloading veteran desired talent from other teams at the trade deadline. If they're 4-4, does it change your mind about trading people? If they're 2-6, are you just saying, oh, go trade everybody, it's a fire sale? It's an evaluation season where we talked about the fact that the record really wasn't what was going to matter. So if there are potential deals on the table, does the record in the next three games matter as far as what your agenda should be at the trade deadline? I believe nothing that happens in the next 3 weeks should affect your plan. Because this is supposed to be an evaluation. This is supposed to be a load up. Next offseason is going to be the biggest, most monumental offseason in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you can pick up a couple more pieces to work with, I'm all in. Question is, our Bob, our Pat, our coach, our Connor, our Mike, the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic, Adam Schefter at 8:10. So, does it affect you at all, Bob?
It does not. As far as the immediacy of it, no. If I can do something that is a future, that is something that can help you long term, maybe.
Yeah, I'm talking about selling. Just selling.
No, just selling?
Just selling. If they're 4-4, are you reluctant to sell? If they're 2-6, are you more likely to sell? Or does that plan of selling stay the same? I say it stays the same. For me, it completely stays the same.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. It stays the same. I don't know what goals there are this year. Look, Dallas is head and shoulders above everybody else. You're not making the playoffs. I'm sorry. You're just not. You can be 4-4. That's fine. I just don't see it. So, no, I have to stay the course of what this season is that you outlined, John, and that's it's an audition type year for so many different things. See where you are, coaching staff, everybody there. I'm looking at what you have now and what you need moving forward next year. But no, I'm staying the same and just going with it.
Patty?
Yeah, trade everybody.
Trade everybody!
Even if they're 4-4.
Trade everybody. If they're 4-4...
Look, I'm talking about if you got a handful of veterans that somebody would want.
Mm-hmm.
Trade everybody!
See, that's how I am.
Every single person. It goes back to Bob's friend saying, oh, this is a must-win. For what? The 4-4 is a mirage. It's the oasis in the desert. It's not real. This team isn't good. They're rebuilding, and we know that. We know that going in. So, you know, when you throw out a lineup of Andre Dillard at left tackle, when you've paid your left tackle, you paid Jordan Mailata a lot of money.
You have.
But you throw him at right. Well, that tells me right there that you're showcasing Jordan Mailata. All of a sudden, Zach Ertz's production goes up. I think last week he had the best game of the season so far. You know, because of Dallas Goedert being out, and we talked about this a little bit earlier,
it's going to become Zach Ertz will be a, more of a focal point in the offense against a not that great secondary. His value goes up. If anybody calls on anybody,
you have to consider.
And that's one of the reasons why I think that you're seeing Eric Wilson and Alex Singleton so much. Because I think that the hope from the Eagles is maybe we can get something for these guys, even if it's a seventh round pick. And then after the trade deadline, maybe we can usher them in. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense of why they're playing certain guys here and certain guys there, i.e. Andre Dillard playing left tackle, other than to showcase him.
I think that's what that was all about.
Everybody's on the table. They should be.
I sort of agree with the strategy, though, too, of putting Andre Dillard out there and letting somebody see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let Jordan Mailata struggle for a week or two.
And he'll be fine.
Yeah,
he's secured. You already paid him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's secure. He's fine.
Yeah, when the words came out of my mouth on Monday about I didn't agree with what they did in game, or before the game, of moving your left tackle over to right tackle, a guy that's going to be your future. But then as the more we talked about it, it did hit me that maybe that's exactly what they were doing. You guys are right, that they were showcasing Dillard to try to move him somewhere else.
Is a bunch of gentlemen asks here, Tony, hi Tony, asks if, let's say they picked up two or three third day draft picks. He's going to use the example, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. Is that really making a big difference in what the Eagles offseason plan is going to be? A fourth round pick can allow you to move. I have this great chart that allows you to say, like, okay, what would a fourth round pick, like the, what if it's the 125th pick,
right?
What would that mean to be, if it's tossed into a deal, how many spots could you move up in the third round or the second round? And I love looking at all those charts and all that movement. So it does matter.
It does. Sure. And what's amazing,
it's leverage.
Is we sit here, I think, as fans, and we go, who the hell cares about a sixth and seventh round pick? And I've said it before. Well, man, you know, and possibly like NFL teams might look at that way as well. But then at the trade deadline, all of a sudden, the draft, sixth and seventh round picks become gold. And it's for that very thing that you talked about. It's not just trading up, though. It's also trading for veterans from teams that no longer want the guy to want to pay
them.
Exactly. And you can steal a guy for virtually nothing. Like Michael Bennett, I think, was traded to the Eagles for like a fifth round pick. That's nothing.
I mean, I want them to have as much draft capital as possible.
Absolutely. Assets.
They're going to have a ton
of it before, and we'll hear it again.
They're going to have a ton of capital.
As many
financial capital they're going to have.
As many shots at the bullseye as they can get, you know, because eventually, yeah, I don't think that Howie Roseman can draft at all, but eventually a blind squirrel is going to find a nut. So if he has all these draft picks, he's going to find somebody. He's done it before.
We're going to do really, really great shows in Vegas. And then go back when the Eagles are in the first round with three top 10 picks and sitting there on draft night.
Speaking
where the entire organization can be transformed.
Without our pants on.
Well, I don't know about that.
No pants.
I think they throw you out of the where we'll
not
be
in Vegas. Now, when you and Jamie allude to no pants so often, are you talking underwear or just total nakedness?
I guess you got to find out.
I don't want to find out.
I got a problem.
I guess you
got to
find out.
You have your own room.
Underwear, I'll let you get by with.
What part of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Yeah.
And you guys want to bring it to Philly.
Not if you're pantless. It'll be fine out. Hey, the NHL's on TNT tonight. 7:30 Eastern, the Rangers and the Capitals, followed by the Avs and the Blackhawks. Watch every Wednesday on TNT. That's going to be great. Seeing TNT tonight.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. We got hockey back, which is absolutely fantastic. And the Flyers begin on Friday. We will broadcast live from Center Ice Friday morning down at the Wells Fargo Center.
I'm already
Center
chilly.
Ice. Well, you're going to be a little chilly.
I'll wear my skates.
Be prepared. You're going to be a little chilly. And it's going to be a fun morning as we get ready for Flyers hockey. It's exciting.
Bring a sled?
The beginning of the
Do you have skates?
The beginning of the NHL season is a great time.
No personal questions. It is. The beginning of every season is cool. But yeah, hockey and the introduction that you saw with the Kraken last night and all that, it's fun. Watching the guys take the ice on the first night, it's cool.
It's going to be fun.
Excited. Yeah, very excited.
Well, Pat, we got to go see the Knights though.
Yeah, after seeing the video,
it's awesome.
And you've told me before, and you're not the only one. I've heard it from many people who've been out in Vegas and have watched a game there, that their production value is worth it alone.
It's incredible.
And the team's pretty good, too.
They put on a show, and the team is pretty good. So the Kraken, is it going to piss you off when you see all the people in Kraken stuff? Because you got bothered. You got bothered by the Knights. You didn't like that. You didn't like that. Adam Schefter is going to be joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Because every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. We're going to get to Adam here. And right off the bat, with Adam jumping on with us, is Adam, we before we bring you on here and get started with what we usually talk about, we see your name in a story this morning.
Yep.
Regarding the emails, not the emails John Gruden was involved in, but other email story. And I just wanted to give you a chance to be able to address it a little bit before we get going, because everybody's going to want to hear about it.
Yeah, I would just say this, John. I've learned for a long time in this business not to discuss sources or the process or how stories are done. But I would just say that basically it's a common practice to run information past sources. And in this particular case, during a labor-intensive lockout that was a complicated subject that was new to understand, I took the extra rare step, again, to run information past one of the people that I was talking to. It was an important story to fans, a host of others, and that's the situation.
That's excellent. Okay, good clarification, Force.
Not something I haven't done 1,000 times myself, Adam, so I know of what you speak.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. I think that's... you know, that's what reporters do. And, you know.
See, not being a journalist, Adam, we just fly by the seat of our pants and just run our mouths. So it's a totally different standard than you and Bob had as journalists. So,
I appreciate saying that, Bob. Thank you.
Okay, let's start this out, Adam, with this. We're 5 weeks into a season, and the most frustrating thing to me is that we have no idea who Nick Sirianni is as a philosophy, as an approach, because I don't understand what he wants to be, what he wants the offense to be, and why he doesn't want to try to exploit the biggest weaknesses of his opposition that we can see on paper every single week. What do you think you figured out about Nick Sirianni?
Well, maybe Nick Sirianni doesn't know exactly who he's want to be, and he's trying to figuring out who he wants to be as a head coach. And so I think it's not an easy thing. And, you know, you think about anybody in any line of work, right? It takes them a while to figure out how to do their job, the process by which to go about doing it, what's effective, what's not. And in his position, maybe that's what it is. When you see, you know, you're trying to figure out who he is, maybe he's trying to figure out who he is, and he's learning on the fly. And so some of the points you raised there, John, like attacking a certain weakness, yeah, I mean, he should be doing that. And maybe he hasn't done it as well as he should be. And maybe that will come. And again, you know, people in your city care so much about that football team, so they see certain things that aren't getting done. You know, it was weird on Sunday. I'm watching that game, and I'm saying to myself, man, the Eagles are getting killed here. Like, boy, this is unbelievable. I'm a little surprised. And then they win the game. And I'm like, how'd they win that game?
That's the way I look at it. I look at him, though, as a guy who's learning two jobs on the fly. Mm-hmm. Never been a play caller.
Yep.
Never been a head coach.
I think
he made that decision, and I think it was short-sighted watching him, as he has admitted numerous times, he's gotten lost in play calling.
Well,
he gets lost.
You know what's interesting about that is I have seen many times over the years where there is a head coach who comes into a new job, who thinks that he can do it all, wants to do it all, tries to do it all, and then after the season admits, I bit off more than I could chew, and now I'm hiring this person to call the plays or run the offense or run the defense so I could focus on a little bit of everything else. That happens often over time.
Shefty, in our quest always, I know I'm like this, to find deeper meaning to what's going on with the organization, sometimes I fail to see the big picture. Just from a national standpoint, looking at this Eagles team, how would you paint the big picture of what this team is so far?
I look at everything with the Eagles team through the lens of who's going to be eating what. That's how I look at it, to be perfectly frank with you. You know, is John going to be eating my food or am I going to be eating his food?
That's honestly what it's at right now.
I mean, in fact, when they went on Sunday, I'm like, oh, so I did the math. They have to get to 7 wins.
Yeah, I knew you were looking for 5 more wins. I just said that before you came on.
Yeah. So it's 5 of 12, right? So they have to go 5 and 5-7 down the stretch for me to win, right?
That's a lot.
That's
a lot.
Just
saying.
Yeah.
Especially in the next couple weeks. It's not good. Next couple weeks could be trouble for you. You need to pull out a win here in the next couple.
Well, the schedule, I think, gets a little bit more favorable as we go on here.
Yes.
So we'll just see how it plays out, but yeah, they're going to have to get some wins.
I can tell you, one of the things that baffles us is Miles Sanders. His desire to not use Miles Sanders.
A little weird, right?
Anything you've heard? Could there be a disconnect with the coaching staff? When he runs out of bounds twice in the last 2 minutes, when we're trying to get Carolina to burn timeouts, I said to myself, maybe there is the window into the soul of Nick Sirianni, that he can't trust the guy between the ears.
That's interesting. I think he's trying to figure out how to use certain guys, and Miles Sanders has done a couple of things like that that maybe give him pause. And let's not forget that Kenneth Gainwell has been very impressive so far with what he's done and the way he's played, and so they've leaned on him. And again, I think it comes back to your original point, John, that it's a situation where everybody's learning each other and what to do and how to handle it. And so that's the situation.
Chef, do we had Tom Brady show up with something on his hand at his press conference the other day, short week, all of that. Have you heard anything more about what that injury may entail?
No, look, you know, it was interesting. On Sunday, he had his hand in a bucket of ice water, bucket of ice the entire time in the second half.
Yeah.
So you knew it was something. And then he's had the hand and thumb wrapped this week, so you know it's something. And he says he's playing. And it's fine. And so it's a situation where we'll see how healthy he is tomorrow night. But I don't think it's nothing. You know, it's something. And we'll see if it does affect his performance.
Are you a believer that the next few weeks, and let's say the Eagles somehow manage to get to 4-4, or they go in the tank and drop to 2-6, do you think in any way that will change the Eagles' philosophy as they approach the trade deadline if they have veterans that other teams are interested in?
You know, again, I think last week I said that they weren't going to be sellers or something. I don't remember. We've gone back and forth in this, and it depends on win or loss. I think the bottom line is, and this doesn't change, as the general manager, Howie Roseman, is always going to be aggressive, period. Whether that means trading his players if they're losing, or trying to acquire players if they're winning. And to your point, if they could get some wins here, it could go either way, just because that's what Howie wants. He's a trader at heart. You know, he loves to look for ways to strengthen his team now or for the future. And so I won't be surprised if they're wheeling and dealing. I just don't know which way it's going to go.
Shefty, is Dallas better than you thought they were going into the season?
That was easy.
Yeah, I mean, no. You know, it's a couple of things there. First of all, the offensive line has come back and played much better, much better. The quarterback's back from injury and elevated his level of play, which I think surprised a lot of people. Myself, I didn't think we'd see this level of Dak this early in the season. Dan Quinn has come on and basically turned around that defense. Micah Parsons has injected energy into it. And
I'm shocked by this, Adam, by the way, because I watched Dan botch up a defense as a head coach up close and personal for years. And it seems like he's back to being right on the ball and knowing what maybe he was meant to be a coordinator.
Well, you know, it's some guys are just better as coordinators. And so often teams hire guys based on the success they've had with a team. And they promote him to head coach. Head coach is a very different job than a coordinator. And just because you're a great coordinator doesn't mean you're going to be a great head coach and a great leader of men. So, you know, that's the situation.
Coach, how did we get Shefty on today?
He's brought to us by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app.
Gotta love that. So, Adam, be watching tomorrow night. Tom Brady's coming to town. We don't like him much, just so you know.
Yeah, well. I'm sure Philadelphia is waiting to give him a warm reception.
We do enjoy, though, the fact that the Super Bowl championship came at his expense. That's awesome. I mean, that is awesome because it'll be something that makes it all the more special.
Well, look, Philadelphia's finest hour, finest football hour, came at the expense of one Tom Brady, right?
So there we go.
That is correct.
I mean, that's how it is.
Keep looking for those wins, Shefty. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, have a great week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shefty.
Adam Schefter joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. What's that promo code, Bob?
That would be Cooney. That's C-O-O-N-E-Y.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun moment there. Yeah. I appreciate Adam not... There are people who try to hide from answering a question. There are people who... You know, won't do interviews if you're going to ask them about something that's going on. And Adam's front page news today, LA Times. Because of an interview. I enjoy the fact that he wanted to come on, he wanted to say something, and he wanted to take that in.
Yeah, and his explanation of it was something that was going on with the lockout. Look, that's not an expertise. When you're covering a beat, he's covering the football beat. When it goes to legalities... I know when I was covering Sixers and there were lockouts, that was tough things. Sometimes you may think you have it totally down. You write it out and you want to make sure of what you've written out. So you check with an expert. The further stuff that goes on there, that's all I'm saying. I've done it 1,000 times. Shefty just explained that's what he was doing. That I totally understand.
I also just want to point out, we often say, you know, probably Howie Roseman's talking to Shefty.
Right.
Like,
How
do you think he gets the information? Do you think he just comes? Like, you have to massage it. You have to cultivate a source. You have to be nice to these people. And
remember, this is a lockout story.
Yeah, I just
a story about trying to find out the idea. What are the details of a thing, and you want to clarify it?
I can't. I honestly can't believe it's this big of a story.
I can't either. And thank God he's just not on John Gruden's emails.
Jesus.
Then that would be a real big story.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. All right, do you want to travel? We're traveling next week. Do you want to travel overseas for your love of the Eagles? We'll get to it next. Plus, Jamie Lynch will stop on by. New daddy. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I know that Hooters wants to make you happy. They always do. It's a great, great place for wings and burgers, sandwiches, and even seafood. It is the cure for the common restaurant. And right now, you can hurry into Hooters to get your 2022 Hooters calendar. Featuring over 200 Hooters girls. More importantly, how about over $100 worth of coupons? And over $1 of every sale goes to the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Give a hoot in the fight against breast cancer during the month of October. They got plenty of ways that you can donate. You can even buy a pink drink for a $1 donation goes to breast cancer research. But if you want to watch the game at home, you can order online at HootersToGo.com. You always love going into your local Hooters and hanging out, but you can be the MVP of your football watch party by grabbing Hooters To Go. Order online at HootersToGo.com. For dine-in, to-go, curbside, or delivery, Hooters is bringing the flavor and the fun to your football season. Check it out. Go to NortheastHooters.com. That's NortheastHooters.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You know, you may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, you choose Bradford White. Bradford White's here for the pro. Most people find out they need a new water heater when their water heater busts. You may want to think about replacing it before it does. Saving money, getting a new efficient system. Check out our friends at Bradford White.
It's called being proactive, John.
I like that. That's when you have zits.
What?
Isn't proactive when you have zits?
Yes.
It's when you have zits.
Correct.
Adam, what's his name?
Joseph.
Levine.
Wow.
He had that. Adam Levine, he had that. He had to use that because
Coach is getting upset.
That's his man crush.
Don't be ripping Adam Levine, man.
I didn't rip him. His skin looks great because he used the Proactiv. He's the spokesperson for Proactiv.
Coach got really excited during the Super Bowl when he took his shirt off.
It's a hands on hand.
If Adam Levine and Taylor Swift got together, Coach, how would you feel about that?
Well, that kid would be a beautiful child.
He'd watch the video.
Have a voice of an angel.
He'd download the video. I promise you that.
He would.
Beers with Bob tonight, by the way, 6 o'clock in studio, right?
Yeah, we are here tonight, me and Andrew. Check it out. Don't forget, put your seat back, 6 o'clock, grab your favorite cocktail, because it is Beers with Bob.
You mentioned Andrew, and we talked about in the rejoin about family. You're part of the family. A happy birthday today to my godson.
Andrew, there you go.
Andrew Amicone, who is celebrating his birthday today. Hopefully Andrew's going to have a great day out there. Another spectacular Andrew. Every Andrew I meet tends to have that same type of personality. My Andrew is very similar to Tunis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're loved by everybody. They tend to be very charming, like low-key.
I know an Andrew like that. Andrew
Rocco. They're not rattling.
Yeah.
It's a great name.
It's a super name, yeah.
I've met a lot of good Andrews in my life. But he's absolutely
good to
awesome.
Know.
Good job, Andrew. Happy birthday, brother. Appreciate it. Do you want to go see the Eagles play in Germany? The NFL might be close to jumping the shark, I think, with these neutral site games. Because not only do they have London on the schedule now, Mexico City, but now they are deciding between 3 German cities to host a regular season game. 1 year, 2 the next year. So they're looking to specify it'll either be the 2022 season or the 2023 season when it begins. But then they want to go 1 game and then the next year have 2 games. So the NFL is trying to break it down right now between Dusseldorf, Frankfurt, or Munich. You have any preference, Pat? Is there anybody where you'd like to, if we were going to do the show from Dusseldorf, would you like that? Would you rather be in Frankfurt or Munich?
No and no.
And you don't want
to, you're like me then.
I have no interest in going to Germany whatsoever. Germany kind of freaks me out.
Honestly. I got a thing with Germany. Germany's on the list with me. My father was a prisoner of war in Germany. And I just, they're on the list.
My father wasn't.
And they're on the list.
And actually, my grandfather speaks fluent German, but no.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he has no of connection German descent?
To it. No, no connection. Just decided one day, want to learn German.
Want to learn German. Bob, would you want to go to Germany?
Ein, zwei, drei, vier, fünf.
So you would.
I always want to go anywhere, yeah. I would love to travel anywhere, anytime, any place.
Bob just wants to make sure the game's in October.
Okay, the Mount Rushmore of, he wants to go for October.
Yeah.
The Mount Rushmore of your travel sites internationally. 610, no, we're not doing that.
You know where I'm surprised they
haven't? Italy would be my number one.
I was just about to say, I'm surprised they haven't gone to Italy.
That's my number one.
Because there is an Italian football league.
There is?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, my squad's the Parma Panthers.
Really?
I'm a big Parma Panther man.
Is Parma short for Parmesan?
No. Well, that's where Parmesan is from.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're not chicken.
No, but they are.
They're tough.
They have an Italian football league.
I did not know that.
Professional, but, you know, it's...
Okay.
Then they have some imports.
Has anyone played out of the Italian league and gotten into the NFL?
I'd have to look.
Sav Rocca.
He was Australian, but
I know Brian Finneran. Brian Finneran played overseas.
He played for
NFL
Europa.
Europe.
Right?
In NFL. He played for, no.
He played for the Rhine Fire?
He played in some city. I forget what it was.
Well, that just narrowed it down.
But I'm not interested in, I do not want to go to Germany.
No?
No, they're on the list. I don't want to go to Germany.
I'll go anywhere. Anywhere you can go and learn something about the world, learn some and see things that you have never seen before, I'm all for it.
Would you rather, there are things in America that I haven't seen.
I say that all the time.
And
John.
I'd rather see, and it may seem, you know, that you're anti-foreign countries. I'm not. But I would rather make sure that I've knocked the things off the list that I haven't seen in this country.
I honest to God, I say that all the time. And I've been fortunate enough. I think I'm down to, I haven't been in like 6 states in our country is all it is. But I would still love to see everything that there is here. But that being said, Italy's number one, and then if I could do an Ireland, Scotland type of golf thing would be too.
So before, John, before you go off to Dusseldorf,
right.
You have to hit up Bismarck, North Dakota. Have you already been there?
No, North Dakota I have been. South Dakota I have not.
Okay.
I have been there on business. I have been to Bismarck, which is strange that you say that.
Okay,
I've been to Bismarck, North Dakota.
Well, Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
I have skied in Jackson
Hole.
Okay,
dude, I give up.
So there you go.
Shreveport.
I've been to Shreveport for a bowl game.
Jesus, man.
Bowl game. Think of some other obscure. I think there's like three states I haven't seen.
Mount Pierre.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like three. I did a lot of business. And when I did business out west, did a lot of fly-ins, though. Didn't see anything. Like Portland. I always think of Portland. Yeah. I did a business deal in Portland, went over like 3 months. I went into Portland like four times. I would come in the night before, have meetings all day long, and fly out. So I didn't see Portland.
No,
I don't feel like I know Portland.
Yeah.
I don't know Seattle. Went into business on Seattle.
I flew in
and then came out.
Yeah, I flew into Seattle, and then I think I drove down to Portland from Seattle.
Everyone tells me how great Portland
Seattle's
is.
It's supposed to be beautiful. I've never spent time in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't spend... A lot of these people that travel for business, they'll say, I love traveling for business because I get to see so much stuff. When I would travel for business, I wouldn't see much stuff.
Yeah.
I'd sort of fly in, do the business, you know, usually go out to dinner or something.
Fly in and do the business.
And then get out.
Yeah.
What's that promo code, Bob? You could do that. I think these international games are jumping it. I don't care about the Eagles playing in Mexico. I don't care about the Eagles playing in Germany. I don't want to. Again, that doesn't.
All right.
I'd rather see a road game in the United States than go see a road game on a foreign soil. Because if I'm going to the foreign soil, I want to go for a sightseeing trip. I don't want to go for an Eagles game.
Okay. I think it'd be cool, like, if I got the chance to go to Germany and there's an Eagles game thrown in there.
You like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, because being away, you kind of want a little bit of home probably with you. That would give it to you. Are you kidding? Hearing an Eagles chant in Germany.
Truth and Wisdom says travel locations, Bucharest, Chernobyl, Camden, and Dover.
I've been to two of those.
Chernobyl's beautiful this time of year.
Bob had hair before going to Chernobyl. That was a bad trip. But you were scouting that one Russian guy that the Sixers might have drafted.
Yeah, that's who we were over there for. Yeah.
We're looking
Dmitry
at
Dmitry Yuskevich.
There you go.
Hey, 6'10 power forward.
In Cooney's corner, he says he's not on board with this.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
Yeah, I've kind of done a 180 here. Because I told you guys all last year of how I thought Ben Simmons helped this team, what he gave.
You did. You defended him.
I thought a new coaching staff, a new president of basketball ops could come in and maybe change his game for the better and to get what was needed to be gotten. I just don't think it can happen now. I don't think with everything that has gone on in this offseason that it can happen, and I don't want it. I really don't. I don't think he can get on the floor with a Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris and those guys after what happened. And I just think he further cemented it when he snuck into the building and had someone send a text to Elton Brand. I'm here. Can someone let me in? Wow. I just can't see it working. I really can. I don't think he's going to change his game. I don't think he's going to change anything. If anything, during this summer, he showed the stubbornness, either that he is, or I don't want to say baby, his reluctance to stand up for himself. What is that about?
It's a lack of moral character. It's a lack of character.
If I have a problem with a team, or if I want to go somewhere else, or I want to, and they're paying me $30 million a year, and I don't have the balls to come out and say, yeah, this is why I want to do this, or this is what's upsetting me, I can't have you back as a team. I really can't. And I do appreciate his talent on the floor.
So you don't want him back on, you're thinking?
I don't want him on this team. I don't think it's... It doesn't matter what I think. I don't think it's good for this team for him to come back. I really don't.
You know that yesterday I was on with Mike and Tyrone and Jen. And Mike and Tyrone are of that belief. They don't think he can come back. They don't think that it's good to have him back on the floor.
I don't.
They also believe his value is damaged by coming back, and better if he doesn't come back, and I completely disagreed with them on that.
Yeah, that one is very debatable, but this is what it reminds me of, John, and you'll remember this, and Egan, you probably do too, but Do you remember when Lindros got hurt and the Flyers were up 3-1 on the New Jersey Devils? And it was like, he can come back, but do you want him back because he messes with the karma of the team? And it was a real talking point. You were talking about one of the best players in the NHL. And players and surrounding people were saying, I don't know if we want him back because we're playing well without him. Sure enough, he came back. They wound up blowing a 3-1 lead, and the end of Eric Lindros came about rather quickly.
You're blaming Eric Lindros for that? That what you're doing here? You're blaming the
BD? No.
But sometimes chemistry just...
But the players were doubting it. That was my point.
Yeah, the players were doubting
it. It doesn't matter what I thought. The players were actually asked about it, and some of them at the time said, we have a good chemistry. Why mess with it? I really think that's probably, if you could get the Sixers to sit down and speak honestly, to say, look, I don't want him around. I appreciate him as a player, but I don't want that around.
Do they not want him to... I don't understand where Mike and Tyrone were of the belief that his market value is hurt by coming back. I disagree with that. I think he shows that he's in shape. He shows that he can do the stuff defensively that people drool over. He comes in and he contributes to the team winning. I think that helps his market value. Then if he... They're like, Mike was telling me, you know, you want to sell the mystery of Ben Simmons. What teams think they can make him into, and that if he comes back, it's just going to showcase his deficiencies. I said, showcase his deficiencies? He was an all-star last year. The regular season, he was an all-star.
Yeah,
but... So the regular season is what... They ruled him an all-star. They thought he was great.
Yeah, but what's first in everybody's mind right now? It's not the regular season all-star. It's the playoff.
Yeah, but we won't know about that till April.
But no, I mean...
There's not a playoff game till April. So.
No, that's what's most recent in everybody's mind right now is what happened in the playoffs.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah. So, him coming back, him getting on the floor, would it help? Not if he hasn't changed anything. It won't. I mean, people know what he is, good or bad. They know what he is. But if he comes back and doesn't shoot jump shots and doesn't change his game at all, people are going to start to wonder, okay, now he's going to fade away in the playoffs? Do you want that? It's questionable. So I see both sides of
it. So which would you pull? Are you on Mike and Tyrone's side or on my side? Take two sides, Bob.
I think he's better off. I think it's better off
for
him
the Sixers.
Not going on the court for the
really?
Sixers. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Then you are in Team Tyrone and Team Missinelli.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Sorry about that.
Maybe Jen would like to come and join the morning show. We'll talk about that. If that's a loyalty. We have a seat open this week, but it's only because this guy's not here. Jamie Lynch, the new daddy.
Yeah.
You're joining us as a guest on your show.
It's always a weird...
What's up,
weird,
Papa?
It's a weird dynamic. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm sitting here right now trying to get one to take a pacifier and the other to eat her breakfast.
Funny because Addy was trying to get you to take a pacifier. It's very similar. How is Paige?
Paige is awesome. She's adorable. She's doing pretty well. She didn't really... sleep a ton last night. She more or less ate all night. So I am now in the middle of giving her a break and watching the two of them.
She's a lynch.
By fire.
She's a lynch then.
How much did you eat last night?
Not a ton.
I'm
too busy.
Are you noticing different things about baby Paige compared to her big sister?
Not a ton different, no. They kind of look alike. They're somewhat similar. I mean, they're just little alien blobs at this point, so it's hard to...
You're so charming.
They have an alien blob for a father, so I can see...
Exactly.
Exactly.
How's big sister adjusting to little sister?
It's pretty cute. Like, I woke her up this morning, and the first thing she said was, I see Paige.
Oh.
And she gave her a kiss yesterday, and I think my heart exploded.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Now, can she hold her yet, like sitting on the couch?
Supervised hold.
Yes.
With a pillow under her and mom and dad on each side.
Yeah.
So, today, and that was one of the cutest moments of my life.
Oh, that is awesome.
All right, so, James, I got to ask you just to get you back into sports thought here.
You guys have nothing to talk about.
When you hear that Ben Simmons is outside the arena and Elton Brand gets a text saying, can someone open the door? What were your thoughts and what are your thoughts moving forward about what's going on here?
My thoughts are that it's absolutely the weirdest, wildest, and funniest way for this to come to a head. I can't imagine the security guard's face when he saw Ben Simmons pull into the line. It's utterly ridiculous. And now there's a Ramona Shelburne report that he's not vaccinated, and that's the delay in his conditioning and physical. it's almost like he's writing a PR class on how to be hated.
It's a, do you believe there's going to be a divorce from Clutch Sports? Because I do.
It almost does seem like he was so sick of losing his own money that he just went rogue and got on a flight and came to Philly. Like, that's kind of what it reads to me.
It's a strange story.
LeBron?
Yeah, exactly. I wonder about that.
That's a tough thing for him to do. I don't know if he's got the gumption to divorce LeBron, because you're not just divorcing Clutch. You're divorcing the most powerful figure in the NBA.
This is it's such an interesting situation. All right, let's switch it over to Eagles real quick. You're probably the most positive out of all of us, and we're not going to ask you to give a prediction because we don't do that until tomorrow. But your feelings on the Eagles after Sunday and going into Thursday?
Don't feel great going into Thursday. Good win on Sunday, though. Pretty ugly three quarters of football, but they pulled it out when it mattered. And they had a good fourth quarter, and the defense showed up. If Tom Brady doesn't play, that certainly changes things on Thursday.
I think he's playing, right? But I do believe the injury is more than they're making it out to be.
Yeah, of course. You know, there's some whispers down there from people that have heard things from the Bucs that it is worse than people are expecting. So we'll see. I don't know. But I don't feel good if he plays, that's for sure.
Exactly with that. The YouTube crew wants me to make sure that we say congratulations and that they miss you.
Oh, that's great. I will be back next week. And as I call it, we're in the terror dome right now, trying to figure out if she'll sleep and how, you know, the cluster feedings. So my poor wife was up all night. These women are superheroes.
I don't know why it brings a smile to my face to hear you sounding so exhausted.
It is sort of fun.
But yeah. It is fun, yeah.
It is sort of fun.
I'm glad I could be there for your enjoyment.
Okay, do you fall into this? Because Bob is being shifted to Mike Missanelli's show, if you didn't hear. Jen is coming to join us because Bob has decided that he's Team Tyrone and Team Mike. Do you believe that Ben's market value is better if he doesn't hit the floor for the Sixers than if he does? Choose wisely.
That's a good question. Are we assuming it's the same Ben Simmons that we've always had?
Same regular season Ben Simmons we've always had.
I mean, I don't think there's any increasing his value unless he shoots a jumper. So,
you say set him out?
Kinda.
Okay, well, you're going to Anthony Gargano's show, so now we'll have Cuz, Chunis, and
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think he can increase his value unless he comes out with a completely different game.
Pat, there's a lot more money in the budget for you now.
Cool.
A lot more money in the budget with Bob and Jamie leaving the show. It's great. Hey, Jamie.
This is presented by PropSwap.
Jamie, we miss you, buddy. We'll look forward to talking to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
There you go, buddy. Jamie Lynch joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. There was nothing business about that, though.
No.
Let's be honest.
I'm trying to find it, and Pat, maybe you saw it, because I don't want people to get... So he said that Ramona Shelburne came out with a story saying that he's not vaccinated?
Ben Simmons?
I didn't see that. That's why I'm asking.
I didn't see it either, so I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, so we'll have to check that out.
I do not know.
He's tired. He may have dreamt it.
He could. He's tired because he just got done 36 holes yesterday.
Yeah, he's on the
golf course.
They had to call him off a hole number five. He had to mark his ball, see the birth of his child, and then he went back and finished out the round. So
yeah, that's why he's so tired.
Way to go, Gene.
Okay, we have an issue here. Is Bill Strobel, talented artist?
Oh yeah,
says to Pat, Oktoberfest actually takes place in September, but I have friends who go to Oktoberfest in October.
So Oktoberfest.
They work for Delta, and they go every year in early October.
How does that make sense?
Interesting.
It's like parking in the driveway and driving on the parkway.
Yes.
Makes no sense.
Why do you have locks on 24-hour convenience stores?
Makes no sense.
See? That used to be Mike Missanelli and Steve Fredericks back in the day.
What was that?
Mystery Question of Life Thursday.
Ah.
Fredericks.
You've listened to a lot of radio in
Fredericks,
your life.
Fredericks and Missanelli were... magical.
Yeah, that was cool.
Here you go, Michael. When Mike would start being Mike, Michael.
Yeah.
That's when you knew. When the Michael came, Steve was about to lower the hammer. They had a great
game.
That was a great pair. That was one of the all-time great pairings in sports radio. They were excellent together. Okay, this guy needs something to move the needle. And he's not calling Dr. Avidan a pill. He needs something to move the needle. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know weather impacts your home. When it's nasty outside, you want to keep the nasty outside and have the inside be toasty warm. We're heading into the cold winter months ahead. Let WinDonation make your house a better investment. Sure, your house value is going up when you replace the windows. Your house comfort inside, the comfortability of your home, is raised when you get new windows. Every style, every color that you could potentially find is available for you at WinDonation.com. But the deal is for right now. Buy two windows, get two free. You got 20 windows, you're paying for 10. You got 40 windows, you're paying for 20. No money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. It's a spectacular deal. They won't be calling for any money until 2023. An A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, over 1 million windows installed. You can trust these folks, and they're going to measure three times for the perfect fit. Call 866-90-NATION. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Windows down, Pat, at a traffic light. I am blasting this.
Yeah.
9 o'clock hours brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag.
Yeah.
Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com.
Yeah.
You have a clarification, Bob, on something you'd like to make a clarification for us?
Well, yeah. Please. Look, Jamie's really tired, and I can't find this anywhere. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. It sounded like Jamie said that Ramona Shelbourne was reporting that Ben Simmons had not been vaccinated.
And I do not believe that's reported.
Just make sure. Yeah. I think
to clarify,
Jamie just misspoke, or he's got daddy brain going on
as
right
much
now.
As much as we want to mock Jamie for other
Yeah. No, so we haven't found that anywhere. I think in her story she talked about the specifics of when a player can come back to the facility around other players if vaccinated and if not vaccinated.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is another reason why Jamie won't be here.
So this was a suspension this week. This was not a real, you know, paternity situation.
We got the D-Train warming outside, ready to come on in. Like
he's ready.
Sella.
Chew.
Well, he already said, could we name the linchpin the train station?
I love that.
He wants to call.
And the bosses are all for it because they just pay him in York peppermint patties.
The mini ones or the big ones?
The big
Coach,
ones.
Depends
big
what
ones
kind of day he had.
Yeah. Or mini ones.
You guys are going to rot in hell.
I don't think I'd want the big York peppermint
don't
patty.
Don't make fun of the D-Train.
I don't want
to. Nobody's making fun.
No one's making fun of
you guys.
You have to have the small ones, though.
Why?
Because you can't have a...
You gotta ask him.
You can't eat a big one.
I think like Carson Wentz, it's a personal
preference. Could you eat a big one, Bob?
Well, I think when you go small ones, you're constantly just pumping them in. Boom, 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 boom. So you probably consume more. If you have a big one, you know that just takes up the time and you're good to go.
That's what Carson was talking about when he said that statement. York peppermint patties. Everyone just assumed it was vaccination, but no. It was York peppermint patties.
Bob's...
It's a personal decision.
Cooney's had some funny ones. Just go back and listen to that exchange, Pat.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that one a little bit. By the way, I want to address something because it seems as if this is something that one of our YouTube family members keeps wanting to pound over and over again. Speculation is not okay. Speculation on the Lane Johnson story is not okay. It's not okay to do in sports talk radio. It's not okay to just throw crap up against the wall and to say, could this be true? Could this be the reason Lane Johnson's out? That is not proper. It's not ethical. And more important, it's complete bullshit to do that to another human being. You do not speculate and just say, yeah, you know what? Why are they out? Well, maybe they did this. Well, they could have done this. Maybe they did this. That's not You do not do that. You do not do that to someone. When the story is out, you absolutely talk about it. And it absolutely gets dealt with. But you don't do shows on sports talk radio about speculation on whether a story like this. Speculation about a trade? Speculation about should this guy play over another guy? That's the kind of speculation you get into. People's personal lives, no. That's not the speculation you get into.
Yeah, no.
I think it's fair.
With you on that.
Safe Auto offers Pennsylvania State minimum car insurance for less than 70 cents a day. Visit SafeAuto.com or call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. You can play it safe with Safe Auto.
They do windshields?
They do. They're great.
It's great.
They're great people.
Pick up the phone. The call is free.
By the way, Jason Martinez joins us in around 10 minutes for What the Puck. We talk a little Flyers hockey.
Okay.
And the NHL. Yes.
Wait, Jason's going to talk hockey?
Yes.
That's kind of surprising.
Really? Because he doesn't like it, right?
Well, he was the man who once said, no one cares about hockey.
Which was shocking to me because of all his in-depth hockey knowledge.
Yeah. I was surprised.
One of the greatest players in the Philadelphia area I've ever seen and had the pleasure to coach and coach against.
He's really good. Martinez. He's really, really good.
Do you get in his head, though?
He's tough to score on. I mean, I've done it, but he's tough to score on.
Do you get in his head, though?
Yeah, I chirp him a bit. I think when I scored in the video, you can hear it, I said something to the effect of, it's time to effing retire, Martinez.
Yeah,
something to the effect of that? Yeah.
It might have been.
But was it similar like that?
Yeah, I said, get me the puck, and then I said, it's time to effing retire, Martinez.
No, it's funny. We have a pecking order.
I haven't seen him since.
We have a pecking order in our sales organization.
Is that all it takes?
Yeah. I didn't realize this because Dina Poole is one of our just superstars around here. And she comes to get coffee and gets her stuff all together and just sort of blows in, blows out. Then Joe Z, our sales guy, comes in behind, cleans up after.
Like Dina, a bitch.
Does all like the maid work and everything and then prepares his own.
Like a bitch.
We know where the pecking order is.
Yeah.
Dina says jump. Joe says how high.
Joe Z is just happy to be on the email chain.
He's glad to be in there with her.
That's it. That's
Dina,
all it is.
Dina lets him sit at the cool table occasionally. You know, she a little bit. She engages with her.
Cool table. I don't think Joe Z in the cool table.
No, you know what? The cool kids will let Joe there just because he's a good guy.
Oh, no, I know.
It's not that he belongs.
I know Delaware folks that were friends with Joe back in college.
Were friends.
He was at the cool table. No, he was at the cool table. They loved him.
They had a cool table in college?
They loved them. The ass-kicking chickens.
I'm sorry,
down
what?
In Delaware. Yes.
The ass-kicking chickens?
Yeah, in Delaware.
That can't be a thing.
The University of yes, it is.
What? The ass-kicking chickens?
The ass-kicking chickens.
Okay.
The Delaware Blue Hens.
Sure.
The ass-kicking chickens.
Sure.
There it is. Hey, what Nick Sirianni and his program need is a needle-moving win. Because the two he had this year aren't getting a lot of traction. With his detractors or, I think, the majority of the fan base. A signature win, a moment where we can see a glimpse of what he might be able to be, could go a long way for him. I know that the Super Bowl champions are coming in. Tom Brady may be or maybe not, a little hampered. And you're going to be able to score on the Bucks. The idea that this is a fourth quarter game is not crazy after you saw the Chiefs game. Can you get a few turnovers off of Brady? Can you score touchdowns on your red zone visits instead of field goals? If Nick Sirianni was to beat Tom Brady, it completely changes the narrative of his rookie season. And I believe it launches a feel-good excitement for future expectations that could give him a lot of breathing room and a lot of goodwill. It's a big game. No matter what anybody says, not a must-win or anything like that, but it's one of those little cookies, as Anthony would say. It's a cookie. That if he was able to get this one, Bob, I think the opinions on his rookie year would completely be swung.
Oh, of course. My God.
Go and beat the Bucs?
Beat the Super Bowl champions. You beat Tom Brady coming into your hometown. Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be a huge win.
Knowing that Tom Brady, and don't think we're not going to see this on the coverage, Tom Brady saying at the golf thing, no, the Eagles are the ones that are in my head.
Yes.
I that's going to be replayed. God, if he gets a win here, absolutely it's needle moving. It could be needle-moving with them losing also if they put in a good performance, if they're in the game, if his offense looks good. You know, there could be a lot of that, too. because you're not expected to win this game. You're 7-point underdogs right now. So that could be there, too. I don't know if he has to win the game. If he wins the game, the needle moves. It could still move if he doesn't win the game. It could still move if his offense looks really good, if they battle tooth and nail with the Super Bowl champions until the end of the game and maybe lose, you know, on a field goal or whatever it may be, or if Brady leads a fourth quarter, late fourth quarter score that takes it for him. But it's going to be interesting. But here's a bigger question to you, John, that I wanted to ask. Not bigger, but another. If the Eagles do win this game, where do your expectations go then?
Oh, I thought about that. Yeah, I thought about that as well. I guarantee you this: if they win this game, I'm shopping for Schefter. I'm starting to put together the package for Schefter because he's a winner. If he's got three,
probably.
If he has, because I believe then the Detroit game looks more and more likely like it'd be a win. You get two with the Giants, two with the Washington football team, where I would say. What I've seen of them this year, I think the Eagles could split those games. So I'm looking at that as two more wins.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking Schefter's cashing in. He's getting to seven.
Yeah, but I mean, is the fan base, you and Schefter aside real quick, is the fan base saying, oh, 3-3, they just beat the Super Bowl champions, easy schedule coming up. Does it change from, well, this year was just a year of see what you have, to, wow, maybe there's a playoff thing here.
I believe with some fans it would.
Yeah.
But the problem would be is I believe the NFL standings. And I think that's where the problem would come about. If you're looking at it, like right now, let's just kick it around right now. If you were looking at playoff standings in the NFC, right now the Eagles are sitting there as the 11th team. Now remember, there's going to be seven teams that make the postseason. Right now, Carolina has the last playoff spot at 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
They're only one game out of the the wild card spot.
I just wonder if the talk is going to start going, and I'm not going to say towards crazy, because look, if they beat the Super Bowl champs coming in, maybe they found something. The defense played well last week. You know, if you beat Tom Brady on Thursday, that means your offense probably played pretty well. I can't wait to hear the talk and how it may change should they win this game.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
I think we would all look at it as that's a really nice win, good for Nick Sirianni, needle moving, as you said, and then we'll break down individual players. But to make that jump to, hey, can they do something special this year? I'm not ready to make it, but I bet you a lot would be.
I do believe this team cannot
no
do
and no.
I do believe this team cannot do something special this year.
No, I don't think so either.
But
no.
To me, if Nick Sirianni has a winning, if he ever, Pat, put together a winning season this year, I mean, that's a spectacular job.
Oh, that's
9-8 would be a spectacular job.
Huge. It's like saying I'm going to come in tomorrow and be 5'9". Let's just talk about other things that won't happen. It's not even just his scheme. I don't think they have the talent to get to 9.
I don't think they do either.
So that's the thing. I mean, we can sit here and, well, what if they win? I mean, they're going up against Tom Brady.
I love that.
Who's putting up like 40 points a game when he's not playing New England.
But he could be injured.
Yeah.
Okay. It could be.
I think injured, banged up Tom Brady would still...
Then he puts up
35. Exactly.
I think the Eagles can get in the 30s tomorrow night.
I think they could possibly get in the 30s. I don't think that they can win a shootout with Tom Brady.
That's a big ask.
That's a scary thing, yeah.
To me, it's a big ask.
It would be a scary thing. The Super Bowl team winning a shootout with Tom Brady, yeah.
Yeah.
This team, that team had a great offensive year. It was magical.
Yeah.
Everything was so magical about it.
He's got you look at the wide receivers he has, it's scary good.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
We didn't know it then. We didn't know each other then. Fourth quarter, 4th-and-2 in the Super Bowl, on their own side of the field, when they went for it, and Zach Ertz got the 3 yards to move the chains.
Nice pick. That's how you run a pick next year.
Before they ran that play, were you saying punt?
I don't remember.
I was saying punt, and they were losing.
Yeah,
and I was saying punt the ball.
Probably saying go for it.
I think I was convinced they were going to go for it.
I was convinced
of what
they
Doug
were too.
Build up, yeah.
But I was saying punt the ball.
But their defense also was getting shredded.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It was getting
so
just
punting the
apart.
Ball would have been a bold strategy.
I would have probably been all for going for it. I remember really tight backside, if you will.
That, I remember that watching that play thinking,
squeezing?
Here's the entire Super Bowl on one play. I still think that's the play.
Yeah, and it was typical Zach Ertz. You remember Zach Ertz had this problem for a couple of years where if you needed 9 yards, he would get you eight.
Right.
And if you needed 4, he would get you 3.
And he was still right there on the line.
And he was right there, but he got it, and obviously, you know.
And then the rest is history.
And then they won the Super Bowl.
And then Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
Whew. Hey, Park Sportsbook app has a great offer for you. You get a $50 bet tomorrow, plus 120, and you get the Philadelphia football team plus 50 points. I'm really liking that bet. I already took it. Get on to the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is time for a segment that we're tentatively calling What the Puck. Ah, the greatest music returns. They did a great feature last night on ESPN about the music returning. Jason Mertedis joins us on the John Kincaid Show. Mert, welcome in.
What the Puck.
That's exactly what you said when I told you you had to be on at 9:15 in the morning.
I used a different first letter, though.
You wanted to sleep in a little bit more.
I'm not much of a morning person.
I knew that when we used to have those 6:30 Sunday morning games.
Yeah, brutal.
Club hockey. Yeah. You were not the friendliest kid in the morning.
No, I'm not friendly at night.
You weren't friendly in the afternoon either.
Yeah.
Only at dusk.
He's not friendly.
he wasn't friendly.
Oh, he's not friendly.
No, he wasn't.
He hasn't changed, but
it's part of what made him great. Now, we're asking you to help with some really nice coverage of the Philadelphia Flyers. Love listening to the podcast. Love listening to your coverage here on The Fanatic. So, what are we looking at, Mert, as far as the revamped defense? I'm very confident this team is going to be much better defensively. Not better. I think they're going to be much better. Am I asking too much?
No, I mean, John, they were so bad last year. I mean, that was some of the worst just team defense that I've ever seen. And stuff that you would never coach, you know, in the D zone, you can't flood the puck like they did last year.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so horrible. So, they'll be better by proxy, by thinking. But they do have upgraded players. The only thing that I'm a little concerned about is that Ryan Ellis and Rasmus Ristolainen haven't practiced in 3 days. And you can call those maintenance days and whatever, you can call them whatever you want. 3 missed practice days at this time of year, and I know you have the buffer week between the last preseason game, is cause for concern for me that they're already dealing with something. Now, you're going to deal with stuff throughout a year. You're going to have bumps and bruises. You're going to want to load manage, especially veteran players, but if they're on the ice today, I'm okay. If they're on the ice, or tomorrow actually, they have some off-ice stuff they're doing today, and then if they're on the ice on Friday, I'm fine. But, you know, having talent is great, only if it's available. So that's a little bit of a concern right now for me. But, you know, on paper, the team is, to me, considerably better than they were last year, and especially defensively. The only problem is that the game's not played on paper, so
sure.
We have to see that on the ice and see how that chemistry comes together. You know, I think the chemistry between Ellis and Provorov will be fine, but I have to see the chemistry between Ristolainen and Sanheim to know that it's truly an upgraded defense.
Jay, what percentage of Carter Hart's struggles would you put on the defense from last year? Because I assume it's some of that and some of him also.
110%. Never blame the goaltender.
Yeah, exactly. You're still paying union dues.
Yes, I do. I have a card-carrying member. But with that said, no, it's a question to me, Bob, of kind of what came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
Yeah.
I think that he got off to a pretty solid start to the season. I think in the beginning of the year, they were getting outshot handily. They were winning games because they were getting timely saves. But I think a lot of that eroded as, you know, the lack of structure in their defensive game eroded. But eventually it became, not only is the D bad, but the goaltending is bad as well. So he had a piece of it. He didn't play well. Brian Elliott didn't play well. I don't know that, you know, Patrick Waugh in his prime would have played well behind that defense last year. It was just that messy. But you know, he, to me, he's a guy that's come in really refreshed. Just, you can see it in his face. But he's also put on a lot of strength, especially in his lower body. And he's always been an efficient mover, the way he moves around the crease. And last year he tried to, he said, I want to take more ice. He wanted to try out a little bit more depth and add depth to his game. And I didn't think that was a smart thing to do, because it just means you have to travel further on east-west plays. And that turned out not to be the right thing to do for Carter. So they kind of got him at his more comfortable depth right now. And they're doing the same thing, actually, with Martin Jones, who played way outside the blue paint last couple of years.
The blue paint!
Yeah. But he's a guy that has to play really conservative from a depth standpoint, because it's just not his game to be able to move really efficiently. So, you know, they're trying to get both these guys back to the foundational elements that gave them success in the NHL. Hart looks like every bit of it so far through the preseason, but it's only preseason.
Here we go.
In my opinion, the biggest addition to the team was probably Cam Atkinson. He just looks like he's happy as you know what to get out of Columbus, which understandable because he was playing under Torts. But what do you expect from him this season, being teamed up with Claude Giroux and probably playing on the first power play line? Like, what do you expect from his production level?
Well, first of all, he loved playing for Torts. And a lot of guys do. That's kind of the misnomer about Torts. Like, he's a total pain in the ass, but guys love playing with
him. Sort of like Coach here at the Fanatic.
Yeah. Except for he knows what he's doing.
Which one?
Torts. but the thing about, players always like to know where they stand. You know what I mean? And you always knew where you stood with Torts. But yeah, I think he's a really big and important piece, Pat, because he's a guy. I've been asking for the guy that says, shoot first now, ask questions later. Like, they had this hot potato mentality, the Flyers. Like, they have the puck and they have a great opportunity to shoot. No, you should shoot it. And they just kind of hand it off. I want a guy to get the puck and goes, give me the damn thing, I'll shoot it. And that's what Cam Atkinson does. And he's also a really good penalty killer. I think he does everything at a very high energy, every element to his game. So I think he's going to be a big addition. I think the biggest addition is Ellis, just because of what the pairing means, the top pair. But having that guy to be able to drive your power play and be, he's not a pure sniper. He's not Patrick Laine, but he's like a kind of a notch down as a scorer. So I think that he's going to be a big addition. And you're right. I mean, the guy, from the moment he was traded, was all smiles about it and loves being here.
We're going to try to get you lined up against Pat Egan in a shootout on Friday morning.
I've heard about this.
Is there? We're in negotiations.
I'm going to light your ass up like a Christmas tree.
Well. see, that's the pickle barrel that I'm in. Like,
see?
I go, is there any upside to this for me?
No, there's none, and that's part of the whole agenda.
We have a hand in stone gift card.
A hand in stone gift card should you get humiliated by Egan.
Yeah, see, if he scores, then I retire.
No, that already happened before, and you didn't retire.
There you go, Sissy. There you go.
Well, the only reason I didn't retire when you scored is because I didn't see the puck.
There we go.
It was so fast.
We hope to see you Friday down at the Wells Fargo Center.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be there.
Ooh,
we'll do it.
That's good.
Nice.
Good job, Mert.
If Pat wants to try and sanction somebody to shoot on his behalf, that would probably be better for him.
There you go. Oh, we got a little trash talk going.
Yeah, okay.
There we go.
I'll strap on the stinky equipment.
Oh, you have that. I know that.
Yeah.
There you go. Your father used to not like your equipment.
No, he...
In his nice cars.
Yeah, he'd be like, dude, you got to do something about it. But I was a firm believer in not washing it a lot during season.
Yeah, I can speak firsthand. Yes.
You can't wash good play off your equipment.
You all stunk terribly. Mert, we love you, buddy. Thanks, man.
I'll see you guys Friday.
Appreciate it. Right, Jason Martinez will join us each week for What the Puck. And Flyers begin their season on Friday night, Nick, against the Couve. Looking forward to that. Coming up, are you being cremated? It's a story that involves the sports world here in Pennsylvania. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, there's a big game this Thursday. That's right. You know what it is. Tomorrow night, Tampa Bay, Philly, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, is about to make it even bigger. FanDuel's giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. You can end the week right by winning $150 on just a $5 bet. All right, here's some things I'm looking at for this Philly-Tampa Bay outing tomorrow night. Jalen Hurts, over-under, 285.5 passing. Not liking that. I like the under on that. Tom Brady, 295.5, over-under passing. I think I'm going to go the over there. I also like the over for the game. And Miles Sanders, over-under for him rushing, 34.5. Tampa is very, very rigid when it comes to letting up running yards. I think I might take the under there. FanDuel Sports Betting made simple. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code Bob this week. Before Tampa takes on the Birds, you could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember, use promo code Bob so they know I sent you. 21 and older and present in Pennsylvania. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You know you can protect your home with Dri-Tech waterproofing solutions? Fanatic listeners receive 15% off when they mention Mike Missinelli. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust the experts at Dri-Tech, DriTechCorp.com. Enjoyed visiting with Mike and Tyrone yesterday. It was a lot of fun. They have a good show.
Yeah.
Disagree with them.
It's all right.
They have a very, very good show, and it was good. We had a good, nice exchange. It is. It's what we're here for. Very much so.
Would you guys talk about the booing situation?
Yes. Just saying is that he's saying you're telling people what to do. I said, no, I'm not telling people what to do, Mike. They can do whatever they want. If you want to go to games as a grown man or grown woman and boo somebody the entire time, then you're free to go do it. You want to be that guy, you can do that. That's what you're about. That is perfectly what you can do. I'm not telling you not to do it. But I can tell you that I'm going to sit and look across at you in the aisle and be like, what the hell's this person got going on in their life and why are they ruining my experience at a game? I'm here to cheer for the Sixers to win. I want the Sixers to win. I don't want to boo a Sixer.
Well, maybe you would get on their nerves by cheering the Sixers.
By cheering the Sixers.
Yeah, you're ruining their moment.
You're ruining their experience. Because I came to boo, and I paid my hard-earned money, and I'm here to boo, and I want to boo.
I don't know how it went down in Atlanta, but we don't go to games to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have fun.
It's no fun zone.
I asked the one thing, though. Mike and Tyrone both couldn't answer it.
The question of life.
The idea was, what benefit is it to us as Sixer fans to go and ridicule, boo, heckle one of our own players during games? No answer. There is no answer to it because it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't benefit you to cheer him either.
It makes no sense. And that's what their point is. I said, but I asked you, what is it? That's not the question I asked.
Right.
What does the, because if somebody's mentally fragile, I think it's going to make them worse.
You don't have to cheer.
That's what I said.
There's no prerequisite that it's like,
I
when
said,
you walk
be indifferent
in,
to
yeah,
him.
When you walk in, they don't say, all right, you cheer, you boo. You cheer, you boo.
Right. You can cheer for anybody else in the team that you want. You don't have to cheer for him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying wildly support him either, because he honestly snubbed his nose in the face of the local people here.
When I had Flyer season tickets, there was a couple in my section. They would show up late every game.
Oh, that would drive you crazy.
They would read their mail, and then around 5 minutes left in the game, they finally start paying attention. Like, you can do whatever you want.
What are you talking about reading their mail?
They would literally bring all their mail. They were like an older couple, and they would open their mail, and they'd start reading it. I was like perplexed by these people, so it stuck with me.
Really?
And yeah, it was odd. But my point is, they weren't cheering or booing. They were reading their mail.
How did you get Flyers tickets when you were younger? Would like dad grab them, mom grab them? What would be the...
Yeah. Parents would grab them, and then when I got older and got my own money, and I ended up buying season tickets...
My dad delivered. My dad carried mail on Drexel Hill, and there was a fine man on his mail route, Dr. McGuire. And Dr. McGuire and his wife were like sweet people. And when he found out how big a hockey kid I was and how big a hockey fan I was, Dr. McGuire said, well, we have season tickets. And they would give my dad tickets frequently. And it made me fall in love with the Flyers. And then when I worked for the Flyers, I would always try to come and see them and say, part of the reason I'm here is because you got
oh,
me
cool.
started in the love for it. To get to go to a game was a big deal. Remember what a big deal was going to a game?
My dad took me to one Flyers game. He knew somebody at the Flyers. He got two tickets.
Probably Joe Cadillac?
I'm sure he knew Joe. Yeah. So he got a couple of tickets, and he took me and my brother with him to the game. I guess he thought they were leaving him three tickets, but they only left him two.
Oh, no.
I was about 10 years old. I had to sit on my dad's lap. They let us go in, but I had to sit on my dad's lap. So it wasn't a fun day.
Wasn't as much fun.
No.
So.
No.
Someone spread their loved one's ashes the other day at Heinz Field. In the end zone, literally walked up to the railing and dumped the ashes of their loved one on the field at Heinz Field. Reportedly, chunks of bone.
Wait, what?
Yeah, when you get cremated, there's chunks of bone in that urn.
Yeah, they're like the size of a pebble.
It's not just dust, Bob, but it's like chunks of little things of.
It's what took out Coach's windshield.
Very similar, but like hundreds of them.
Yeah,
someone threw them. Okay,
he ran into a casket.
First of all, gross, because you're putting dead body ashes out into the wind and letting them spread into other people's lungs and everything like that, which isn't a good thing. But first of all, do you find that like disturbing that somebody did that? They went to the railing and dumped the ashes over. Literally chunks of bone on the ground, and then people had to clean it up. Like you're getting cleaned up by like a broom and stuff and thrown into a trash can at Heinz Field.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I know a guy did it in an Eagles game a few years back where he jumped into the end zone and did something. But look, if your parents wish or if you think it's cool to have them stay at a field, why not get in touch with the place and say, hey, do you mind if I get a little hole in the corner of the end zone and put the ashes in there and you guys cover it up so they're there?
Or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
How do you think that right? conversation is going to go?
I have a feeling you're not getting a call back.
That's my point.
I'm figuring you're not getting a call back.
Like, this, to me, is such a non-story. It happens way more than you think.
People
way more.
Dumping ashes
yes.
on the field?
There was a guy in Monday Night Football who jumped on the field and he quote, was a streaker, but he wasn't. He was spreading ashes.
Yeah, he just was holding it. They were going all over.
Oh. I can tell you right now, my mom wants to have her ashes buried in MSG because she's a huge, huge Rangers fan.
Well, how are they going to be buried?
She's from New York.
How are they going to be buried?
Dude, I haven't figured this out. All right, she's probably got
she's 50 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got 60 years left. Yeah. At least.
Getting it, really? Well, she could be getting a few more baked goods in here.
But
she's
she's like giving me a list of places she wants her ashes scattered. One of them is.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, why, it's her dying wish. What am I not going to do it?
I got to tell you, that whole thing freaks me out. And
you're not being cremated then?
No, so like, all right, my wife is Italian. Very Italian. And I noticed from like day one that they had no problem sitting at parties and like drinking their coffee around the table and talk about where they're getting buried and who. And like, it's got to go see the mausoleum. And see their name up on a wall without a date next to it. Like, it drives me crazy.
Wait, they would actually drive to the mausoleum they were being buried in?
Oh, God, you can't imagine how much of their life was taken up of where they're going to be buried.
Wow, and
have you ever been in a mausoleum?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a lot of Irish names there.
No.
Yeah.
Although,
so,
Italian
people love to go into the mausoleum, which is fine. Nobody, but the amount of time it took. I just said, look, man, when I die, backyard, wherever you want to go, I don't care.
That is complete BS. Complete, yeah. Don't even look at me like that. You know,
I could. How am I going to know?
At the happy hour, you sat there and you had a few, but you looked at me and said, "Pat, when I go, I want to be spread at PJ Willihan's, and I want to
be
spread
there, right there.
I want a little piece of me at every single location,
every
oh
PJ's,
every single PJ."
Okay,
and I said, Bob, I don't think they want that.
I got to tell you, I'm not thinking about dying until like one eye's closed and half a breath is gone. I'm just not.
So you believe that with Bob here, that if should Bob be the first one to go on the show?
Yeah.
We have to do a PJ Wilhans tour.
Yeah.
And bring maybe a little bit of his ashes to each spot.
And maybe we call it Weekend at Bobby's, where we carry his body around with sunglasses.
Betty kept saying to us before, the one thing she just said to me before she died was like, make sure I'm dead before they cremate me. Make sure that I'm dead. I'm like, I'll make sure you're dead. I'll be there when you die. I luckily got to be there when she died. But I mean.
Luckily?
Yeah. I was holding my mom's hand when she died.
Okay. All right.
I was lucky as hell to be able to do
that. I know what you mean. Okay.
I got to hold her hand on the way out, which is, I'll consider one of the greatest blessings of my life to get to see it. It shook me a little bit, but it was still a great moment. But the idea of getting cremated, Pat, you getting cremated?
Yeah, probably.
So we're going to put your ashes?
Yeah, I probably have 2 or 3 good years left.
That we're going to carry that thimble around, full of ashes,
spread it
everywhere.
Somebody on Twitter is probably going to hunt me down eventually.
Yeah.
Could do that.
Like, somebody else can take care of me when
you don't want to go in a box.
I just want to live.
You don't want to go in a box, though, Bob.
Why?
You don't want to go in a box in the ground.
What are you talking about?
Why? You don't care?
I don't care. Like, what do you mean you don't want to? You're not going to know, John.
Bob, is it, Coach, are we having open casket or closed casket for Bob? Because we're going to make this like an event, sponsored event.
I already have my thing laid out for when I die.
The casket's going to look like a NASCAR.
Open or
it's
closed?
It's going to have Springsteen playing, and I'm not kidding you. My kegerator is going to be right next to the casket with a bunch of red cups. You're going to come up and say, Yo, Coon, good job, and you're going to pour yourself a beer.
Yo, Coon, good job.
I'm not kidding.
The promo
code. That's exactly what I want.
That's what you want. That's a great idea.
Yeah, pour yourself a beer, listen to some music, and celebrate what I hope was
and
a
pretty Bob's going to be laying
night.
There.
You have any non-alcoholic options? Or
yeah, I'll have a soda. I'll have some Mountain Dew.
Coach, we
you.
Can sell this.
That'll be a cooler.
He should have an open casket. People come up with, like, you know, their beer cans and stick right on Bob's head.
Nah, I don't want
hang
you to
hang out by the casket.
Mm-hmm. That's disrespectful, Coach.
Well, there you go. It's a party.
It is a party. I believe that.
It should be a party.
Yeah.
I think we can sponsor a little Bob Cooney tour, like a goodbye tour.
Like we have to do that before. So if you found out you had like 4 months, we then have a weekly thing where people come out and hang out with Bob, have beers with Bob.
We
still can.
I think we get more people. I think we get more people.
Hey,
than
let's
Bob
kick
dead.
In for the demise of Bob Cooney. Coach, let's get him drunk.
Coach, think
of
Bob, it was nice knowing you.
And think of the ratings bonanza this would be. Bob's, could this be Bob's final show?
Bob, do you want the show to succeed or not?
Are you a selfish bastard on the way out?
Oh my God. Come on. Killing me.
Just kick the bucket, man.
I actually have a cousin who owns a funeral home.
Really?
Yeah, not too far from here. Plus, I'm sure that there's some kind of a cemetery or a crematorium that would be proud to sponsor the show.
Yes, I think it could work.
Because this segment's dying right now.
This is Bob Cooney.
This show's dying right now.
I'd go with the Donahues. Let's call the Donahues. Hey, football's here. Our birds are 100-1 to win it all. That's what Jamie Lynch tells me. Take 2 tickets, hold on to one of them, sell the other bet on Prop Swap this season for a huge profit. And you can cash in on that one.
I'm not feeling good.
Really?
Why?
Wait a minute. Then we may need to start the tour then if he's not feeling well.
Yeah, starting to sweat.
We may need to do that.
That's one of the signs,
Bobby.
You're
looking at me differently.
That's
now.
One of the signs.
Pat, you said that the Eagles did one thing to you on Sunday.
Yeah.
They did one thing to you. Just one?
Well.
Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, they pissed me off. But, yeah, they did one thing, and that was instill the fact that they are in full sail mode. And okay. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but that lineup they threw out there, I think, like a lot of fans, I sat there going, why the hell is Alex Singleton and Eric Wilson still playing a lot of meaningful snaps? And then the more I thought about it, I went, well, they're probably being showcased.
Singleton's showcased?
Look, I hear you.
Come on!
But if a team was looking for a backup linebacker who can play special teams, Alex Singleton might be it. Now, while I sit here like you and say there's probably little to no chance they could get anything for them, why not try, I guess, is probably their line of thinking. Eric Wilson, maybe another scheme. I mean, we've seen linebackers like LJ Fort come to Philly, not fit in the scheme, go elsewhere, and actually earn a contract with Baltimore. So when you throw out those two linebackers, when you throw out Andre Dillard at left tackle, when you've already paid Jordan Mailata, when Jordan Mailata has never played right tackle other than a few practices, that to me tells me that this team is trying to showcase a lot of their players for possible trades. And I am all for it.
That makes so much more sense.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I really do, because it makes more sense. And why are you having your future left tackle shuffling all around?
Yeah, it's you're taking one step forward to take two steps ahead.
Yeah.
And if you looked at him on the sidelines, too, he looked like, man, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And he'll be back there, but I think they're showcasing Andre Dillard to just try to get something for him in return.
I am all for every single bit of draft capital you can add to this offseason, because it is going to be one of the most, it's going to be the best offseason ever. It is going to be the most exciting, interesting offseason, transformational offseason. Anthony Gargano's in here with us.
I agree.
It's going to be the greatest offseason.
I never want to wish away an NFL season because I love the NFL, right?
Sure.
But this whole season,
it's going to be wild.
Could be a party. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's going to shape the whole team. It's going to be, and they have the chance with draft capital and cap space to build a team that could be great for 10 years.
And think if they were able, and the question is, does it matter if you believe, we talked about this a little bit earlier on. Let's say this team managed to win 7 or 8 games. Let's say it really was high end. They go above. They win 7, 8 games. Then you're going into this offseason with all that draft capital, all that money, thinking they could turn this into a playoff team. They could find enough pieces and enough draft spots go from 7 to 9.
I mean, listen, I think it's good for a young team to taste victory. So
okay.
It was good for them to win. But, if they win 5 games, now I think they're going to win more than that. But if they win only 5 games, I don't think it's a bad thing. Because that your pick is going to be a good pick. Like, I'd rather forget about the playoffs and stuff like this year. I'd rather get the higher pick next in the draft and then come back next year.
I mean, I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I actually don't prefer them not to win 8 games because of the draft selection, what number you're going to pick at.
I thought 35-31 losses would be fine with me.
Right. Like
28-24 losses.
I mean, it was great that they win, and I would never say you can't ever do that during the season until the end of the season. But, if they had they lost last week, so be it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I looked at it. Because if you were able to get a top 5 pick and that was your own, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But a young team, and I'm a believer, because it goes back to the process, Bob.
Sure.
The idea of winning is a big deal. Like, they got to taste victory.
Yeah, you have to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to win. And that's something that you grow with. And as much as you want a bad pick, you still can't get that loser mentality in your head. Like, I think it takes a while to overcome you're in the middle of a game saying, "Ooh, how are we going to lose this game?" As opposed to, "How are we going to win this game?"
Yeah, I agree.
It's a real thing.
No, it's true.
Yeah,
I think Nick Sirianni's play calling will take care of a lot of this for us. I really do. He's going to take
Nick
Sirianni. Here's what I said, Anthony, is I believe his next 5 games, I do believe he will change my narrative. Because I think he'll be better in his next 5 than he was in his first 5. But I still don't believe a man should be learning on the job 2 jobs. Learning to be a play caller for the first time ever in his life. Learning to be a head coach for the first time ever in his life. I think he should have taken 1 job on, head coach, and let somebody be delegated to Ant. So you can still dictate every bit of the offense and have somebody else calling plays.
Yeah, I hear you. I listen, I don't want to be a hypocrite because, like, I never thought Doug could handle both.
Like, I didn't think he could either.
I didn't think he could.
And he won a Super Bowl.
Things happened.
A lot of things happened.
He wasn't a very good coach. Sirianni, I think, has a lot of concepts, and I think is smart, and I think he can handle the coach piece. You know, the play calling, I think, will come. But I actually think he's more along those other guys, those smart young guys. I think he's legitimately smart, and I think he knows the game. I think he's got to mature, grow up a little bit.
What I never am going to figure out is why he would ignore 3 weeks in a row the number one weakness of the opposing team's defense, and he chose to go the opposite way. All 3 teams getting gouged on the run, and he decides to throw the football more than any team in the NFL over that 3-week period.
Yeah, listen, I hear you.
I don't understand it.
But again, there is a part of it that is on Jalen on the RPOs. Like, that's legitimate.
But he has too much how about Kyler Murray?
I mean, there was a couple times when just give the ball to Sanders and he's got on the RPO and he's got move to run. Because, look, he's a guy who can move, Jalen. So RPOs should work.
I got you. Kyler Murray's an MVP candidate. And I think the number they had on NFL Live the other day was 38% of his snaps have been RPO. He's an MVP candidate. So that means 60% of the time, he's being told what to do, called what play to run. I don't know why you'd be giving so much freedom to Jalen Hurts, a guy with little experience.
Kyler Murray has a gun of an arm.
He does. But they're calling plays for him.
The problem when you're trying to do more RPO is because you want to get that dual threat on the defense because he is more limited going down the field. So you want to call more RPO.
They're not falling for it, though.
Well, no, they're calling RPOs.
Yeah, but they're not falling for it because they know what he's doing.
Listen, do I agree with you? Yeah, they need to run the ball more. I agree. I'm not arguing.
Sure.
But my only point to you is that Jalen has to sometimes give it to the running back.
Oh, no question he does.
You know,
he does. That's why I would just call him.
Yeah, but, if you don't have him on the move, it doesn't help the play. He's right. Got to be on the move. That's the purpose of an RPO.
It's not going to work then. If that is the truth, if what you're saying is the truth, it's not going to work for him.
You have a quarterback that can move.
No, but I'm saying
that helps you make the run game even better.
But it's not going to work for him long term if that's the case.
Well, I mean, Jalen's got to get a better feel. He's young, too. You're talking about a young quarterback and a young coach, right? So you gotta be a little bit more, not you, I'm saying in general, you got to be more patient with these two because they got to get a feel. Like, Jalen's got to get a feel out there as to when to hand the ball off.
You are holding the line on patience, and I'm so impressed.
I thought you'd
crack at some point.
I'm not cracking the whole year. I can look at. Listen, this year is
you're so damn clinical. I can't believe how you held it because I thought, okay, Anthony's saying this.
You misread me sometimes because that was great. Everybody does about the emotional thing. Like, I can be emotional when I want to, but I like the sport itself. So I'm more interested in the analytical piece,
clinical nature of it.
Yeah.
Going to hear more of this today.
And Ben stuff.
Whoa. Oh, don't miss it. Cause Radio comes your way next. Remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, the Davis CPA Group. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Hopefully you will have a fantastic Wednesday. We've got a game day Thursday. Start it with us tomorrow morning, and we don't make you wait the entire show to find out who we like. We'll lay it on the line, and then you can tell us why we're dumb. We'll be with you back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.